And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
This is the Hagman and Hagman Report for today. It is a manic Monday. It is June 17th, 2013. I'm Doug Hagman in studio with my co-host, Joe Hagman, my son, fellow investigator, fellow researcher, and young man extraordinaire, Joe Hagman. Folks, you're about to hear 3 hours of unbiased and uncensored news analysis and information you need to know in these very perilous times. I want to welcome people from all over North America we've talked to or we've heard from, I should say, today, whether you're Mel in Rhode Island or Mark in, it looks like Phoenix, Arizona. I know of no other Phoenix. I want to welcome you to the show. This is the show where we present the news in 3D. We look beyond the headlines and bylines, beyond the white noise, the curtain of white noise, to bring you the real news behind the news. For the new listeners, ladies and gentlemen, we broadcast live each and every weeknight from 8 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. Our home base on the internet is HomelandSecurityUS.com. It's HomelandSecurityUS.com. Of course, our colleagues to the north, CanadaFreePress.com as well. We're simulcast on the Christians United Broadcasting Network there for crisp, clear audio is the Hagman and Hagman Report.com. You've got to spell it out, T-H-E, and then Hagman and the word and Hagman Report.com. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining us, your belief and trust in us as we walk through this minefield of current events together as we see playing out right now the infrastructure or the opening salvos, shall we say, to World War III. Joe, good to have you in the studio. What's up?
Glad to be here. It was a very busy and interesting weekend, and we got a lot of news to get into today.
A lot of it, yep.
We're going to start right off in Syria, as we have John Kerry condemning Assad for threatening peace talks while backing the CIA as it prepares to arm the Syrian rebels. Mm-hmm. This coming from a determination now that the White House has made that the Assad regime has used chemical weapons in Syria. This from the RT. The use of chemical weapons by Damascus and Hezbollah involvement in Syria risks derailing a political settlement to the conflict. John Kerry warned. His comments follow the reports that the CIA is preparing to funnel arms to rebel forces via Jordan and Turkey. Wonder where I heard that before. The U.S. State Department issued a statement on Saturday condemning the government of Syria, President Bashar al-Assad, for its lack of commitment to negotiating settlement after Secretary of State Kerry spoke with Iraqi counterpart the previous day. Mm. The Secretary reaffirmed that the U.S. continues to work aggressively for a political solution with the goal of a second Geneva meeting, but the use of chemical weapons and increasing involvement with Hezbollah demonstrates the regime's lack of commitment in negotiations and threatens to put a political settlement out of reach, the department said. The statement further noted its appreciation for Iraqi Foreign Minister Zabari.
Don't even try it.
Who issued a statement on June 11th discouraging Iraqis from joining the fight in Syria.
This is that guy. Yeah.
Russian presidential aide Yushogov characterized the evidence proving were provided by the United States regarding the use of chemical weapons by Damascus as unconvincing. Also, the UN has come out with a report saying that it is likely the rebels are the ones that use the chemical weapons. Either way, the CIA is going to arm rebels in Jordan, or via Jordan and Turkey.
And isn't that what we've been saying, ladies and gentlemen? We've told you that's what happened. That's what
the Benghazi.
Right.
Yeah. On Saturday, the Washington Post reported clandestine bases in Jordan and Turkey would serve as conduits for arms being delivered to the rebel fighters amidst fears American armaments would fall into the hands of Syria's many Islamist factions. Although U.S. military leaders have previously stated that tracking heavy weaponry delivered to rebel groups such as man pads, man portable air defense systems, remain unliable, but Obama's decision to approve CIA weapon shipments could also signal a green light to regional allies like Qatar and Saudi Arabia to provide heavy weaponry, despite concerns such armaments could be used against civilian aviation targets by terrorist groups. But the U.S. diplomats have also said that Washington might impose a no-fly zone to help Assad's opponents. And would a no-fly zone be fuel on the fire?
Well, let me tell you, now against that backdrop, let me tell you this.
And I have audios to play on each.
Okay.
John McCain backing of the rebel al-Qaeda fight forces and the RT report on a build-up to World War III.
Gee, I, once again, where have you heard that? And you know, I didn't want to say that. People have denied the veracity, or they've spoken out saying, oh, that's just hyperbole. But consider what Joe just said against the backdrop of French, or former French Minister for Foreign Affairs, Roland Dumas. He was interviewed by a French TV station, LCP. That must be the name of the TV station. And he said this. He said, I'm going to tell you something. I was in England 2 years before the violence in Syria on other business. I met with top British officials who confessed to me they were preparing something in Syria. This was in Britain, not in America. Britain was organizing an invasion of rebels into Syria. They even asked me, although I was no longer Minister for Foreign Affairs, if I would like to participate. Well, naturally, I refused. I said, I'm French. That doesn't interest me. Dumas, he went on to give the audience a quick lesson on the real reason for the war that now has now claimed, what,
93,000.
Thank you. He said, the operation goes way back. It was prepared, preconceived, and planned in the region. It is important to know that the Syrian regime has a very anti-Israeli stance. Consequently, everything that moves in the region, and I have this from the former Israeli prime minister, who told me we'll try to get on with our neighbors, but those who don't agree with us will be destroyed. It's a type of politics, a view of history. Why not, after all? But one should know about it, meaning you should know about it. So, folks, we're watching a chess game play out. We're watching World War III coming to us right now. Right now. We told you about it. We've been telling you about it since Benghazi. You see, doesn't Benghazi now make a little more sense? And everyone's aversion to talk about it.
Yeah, and this is build up to World War III. U.S. gives military support to Syrian rebels. This is from RT.
Washington has given the green light for arming the Syrian rebels to prop up the opposition. A plan for a limited no-fly zone over Syria has also been drawn up. It comes after the U.S. administration concluded that Assad's forces had used chemical weapons, quote, on a small scale. And the latest details now from RT's Marina Portnoya.
This is quite a game changer being announced by the Obama administration. What we know is that the U.S. has decided that it will provide military support to Syrian rebels, but U.S. officials would not specify what that support will involve. National Security Council Deputy Advisor Ben Rhodes says that the new assistance to the Syrian rebels will be different from the non-lethal communications type equipment that the U.S. has given before. This, of course, leads many to believe that the United States will now be arming the Syrian opposition. Now, these decisions are being made after the U.S. Intelligence community has independently concluded that the Syrian government has used chemical weapons, including the nerve agent gas, sarin on a small scale against the opposition. However, Washington so far has failed to disclose what specific evidence they have, what has led them to make these conclusions and this announcement. But this is counter to what a chief UN investigator said just 2 months ago.
During our investigation for crimes against humanity and war crimes, we collect some witness testimony that made to appear that some chemical weapons were used, in particular nerve gas. And what was what appeared on to our investigation that that was used by the opponents, by the rebels, and we have no indication at all that the government, Syria, the authority of the Syria government, have used chemical weapons. But I was a little bit stupefied that the first indication we got, they were about the use of nerve gas by the opponents.
The United States' decision now to provide more military support to the Syrian opposition comes ahead of a peace conference that's supposed to take place in Geneva at the end of this month or the beginning of next month. That conference was organized by the United States and Russia, and it was aiming to get both sides from Syria to come together at the table and talk about how there could be a transitional government formed and ultimately end the ongoing violence that's been taking place in Syria. According to the United Nations, 93,000 people have been killed since this civil war began more than 2 years ago. We should note that many experts have indicated that and believe and argue that adding more arms to such a heavily violent conflict that's ongoing in Syria would actually fuel an arms race. It would make the circumstance there, the environment there, so much more dangerous. But as we see from the announcements made by the Obama administration that Washington plans to aid the Syrian rebels militarily, and they won't give specifics, but it looks as though that the United States will be arming the Syrian opposition.
Yeah, will be. Yeah, exactly.
And looks like they're stepping up their efforts as they are pushing for World War III. They are pushing for forces to ignite in the Middle East, as we see it and have seen it through Libya, Egypt, Tunisia, Qatar. You see it in Northern Africa, even Turkey now, as Turkey is threatening to deploy its army to end the unrest. Deputy Prime Minister says army could be called into action to restore order as unions go on strike to protest the police crackdown.
Isn't this how wars start, by the way? Of course.
I mean, how many uprisings in Middle Eastern countries do we need to have before people see and understand this is more than just a quote-unquote push for democracy in the Middle East or liberating the Middle East? No, we are arming the oppressors in the Middle East, and that's what is really going on, and it is going to have consequences that are beyond most people's comprehension as these nations begin to come against Israel.
And if I can say, that's what our Sunday programs are all about. The only way for people to really understand, in my view anyway, and I think in many rational people's view, and I consider people high up in that either have been or are currently high in government locations, when they say, look, the way to battle this is through prayer, fasting, and clarity of mind, and the former leads to the latter, I think that that's why we're doing these Sunday night programs, because we have to. We need a miracle here. We need the strength for what is coming, and what is coming is World War III, and of course, along with that, an economic collapse.
As we had
the
G8 summit.
That's right.
Russian President Vladimir Putin and his counterpart Barack Obama discussed the Syrian conflict in a meeting on the sidelines of a G8 summit in Northern Ireland. Now, do not get the G8 summit confused with the Gang of Eight, their immigration bill they're pushing in the Senate.
The
G8, and you can call it the World Gang of Eight, maybe. Financial Gang of Eight.
Yeah, G8 is you're correct. I don't think our listeners, I believe our listeners are extremely well versed in all things.
I got a good audio here.
They're very intelligent.
Yeah, and I want to play this audio. This is Senator Sessions talking about the immigration bill and asking how is this going to help Americans, and then we're going to come back to Syria and John McCain. But this was a good clip. I want everybody to hear this.
So over the next decade, the bill would legalize well over 30 million applicants. Colleagues, we need to understand that. On the current law, our processes call for the legalization of 1 million people a year. We're the most generous nation in the world. But you've got to know that if this bill passes, we would be giving permanent legal status to 30 million people in the next 10 years. Do my colleagues have any concerns about how this will impact the falling incomes of our middle-class American citizens? Has any thought been given to that? Has anybody considered that if we bring in more people than the economy can absorb, that this will create unemployment, place people on welfare and dependency, deny men and women the ability to produce an income sufficient to take care of their family, make them dependent on the state because we just simply don't have enough jobs? Can one of the sponsors of this bill explain to me the economic justification for adding four times more guest workers than proposed in the bill in 2007? At a time when more than 4.6 million more Americans are out of work today than in 2007. Can one of the sponsors answer this basic question? How will this legislation protect struggling American workers? How will it help them? Oh, it may help some meat packer or some large agribusiness. They may get a gain from it, but will it help millions of middle-class working Americans who need a job, need a pay raise, need to be able to have a health care and a retirement benefit? I'm worried about that. We need to talk about that. Let me ask you, will the flowing of this many new workers, will it raise wages or reduce wages? Will it raise wages or reduce wages? Will it make it harder for a husband or a wife, a son or a daughter, a grandchild or a granddaughter, to get a job at a decent wage? Wages have been going down. Unemployment is up. The lowest percentage of people in the workforce in America today since the 1970s. And how can we justify this? Somebody needs to talk about it. And who do we owe our loyalty to? Some business who would like to have more labor? Or to the American people who fight our wars, obey our laws, raise our children, and pay their taxes to this country when they're working and can pay taxes? Who's our loyalty to? We need to ask those questions.
Yeah, we do. And immigration reform is just one of the financial questions looming. As we told you before, Obamacare, cheapest family plan, $20,000. Or you can pay the first year fine or the fine of $2,000 if you choose not to be responsible.
But you know what? Before we get into Obamacare, let's go back to that sound clip for a second here, because I think an important question was asked: who's our loyalty to? And I think that's an important question. Number one, it's not certainly not to the United States.
He was talking to the senators and the lawmakers,
right?
Who their loyalty is to?
But in addition to that, folks, do you know, for example, that we are right now, the United States has agreed that through the G8. In fact, the White House announced this, I believe. I believe they announced this today, I believe it was earlier today or yesterday, today our time. No, I'm sorry. They announced this today. Listen to this. They announced, Obama announced that he's preparing, or the United States would provide another $300 million in aid for refugees outside and inside Syria. These are refugees that we created, or we helped create. And, of course, that's in addition to all the other, quote, foreign aid, end quote, that we're providing in and around and for and related to Syria. So we have a G8 going on. And I also want to say this to Russia and U.S. Putin and Obama met, and this does relate to that clip as well, but in a different frame, if you will, different angle. In face-to-face talks, Obama and Putin said they share a common desire to end the violence in Syria. Okay, what they're not telling you is Putin wants to end the violence, period, by getting the anti-Assad rebels to stand down and out of the country, and thereby would solve, just restabilize Syria. Obama wants to end the violence by overthrowing Assad and putting a Muslim Brotherhood or an Islamic regime in. So the news report, while technically accurate, doesn't get into the different strategies and different in-game results. But think about the aid that's going to, that we're providing to these people. And the question goes back to, whose side are we on, or who's benefiting? Are the American citizens benefiting? No, we're seeing that we're not to World War III. We talked about that. We've been talking about this since October. We've been talking about the run-up to World War III, or September even. So, folks, look, there are rough times ahead. In the short term, there are rough times ahead with all of this.
Yes, there are. And we might as well play this John McCain clip about Syria. And as we wrap up what's going on in Syria here with John McCain, AK-47s won't work against tanks. We need to give Al-Qaeda anti-tank and anti-air weapons.
This is CNN Breaking News.
Breaking news here in the CNN Situation Room. Congress has been notified that the U.S. will acknowledge definitively that chemical weapons have been used in Syria by the Syrian government. Let's head straight now to the White House, where our chief White House correspondent Jessica Yellen is standing by with the latest. Jess, what can you tell us?
Hi, Brianna. Well, the White House has now officially acknowledged that they found chemical weapons were used. And in a statement, this, quote, has changed the president's calculus on Syria. In an ongoing conference call, one of the president's senior national security officials said that the White House has made a determination that they will provide military assistance to some forces inside Syria, but will not specify beyond that what the scale, the scope, or the nature of that military assistance is. And so that will be the next question we will be asking, and I'm sure your next guest will have plenty of questions of his own on that. But the headline is chemical weapons, and this crosses the president's red line. Now he's stepping into some form of military aid into Syria. Brianna?
And still a lot of questions there. Jessica Yellen for us at the White House. And joining us now with more on this breaking news, Republican Senator John McCain. He is a member of the Senate Armed Services Committee. Senator McCain, thanks for being with us. First off, let me ask you this. You were just on the Senate floor, and you talked about how the administration was going to be arming the rebels. You sort of backpedaled on that. Maybe you didn't want to get ahead of them there. I'm not sure if that's what it was. But now they've come out, we understand, and they've said that they will be giving military assistance to some forces. Not a lot of specifics here, and I know that this isn't going to be enough for you.
Well, it can't be enough. The Russians are providing the most sophisticated equipment, missiles, airplanes, and we have so far only seen light weapons come in, and in our case, perhaps flak jackets and MREs. But I had been told that, as I mentioned on the floor, that it had been that military assistance, but they need a lot more than military assistance. We need to establish the no-fly zone. We need a safe zone within Syria. Every time that we have escalated a bit in our assistance, the Russians, Hezbollah, the Iranians are all in. And so you've got to change the equation on the ground, and you can't do it with half measures. You cannot do it with just supplying weapons. It's too, Assad is far too successful for that to be effective now.
And I know that you're certainly advocating in favor of a no-fly zone. We just heard from your Republican colleague, Senator Saxby Chambliss, who said he wouldn't want to go that far. Why do you think that's a good idea? And also, if you can speak to the fact that obviously a lot of Americans, and certainly this administration, is war-weary and is fearful of getting involved to such a degree in another, I guess, war in this region.
Well, first of all, the President of the United States needs to go and tell the American people why we are going to take action that I am advocating. Second of all, this is now a regional conflict. This isn't just a civil, bunch of demonstrators being beaten up. This is a regional conflict. It's spilled over into Jordan, is destabilized. Lebanon is about to erupt into sectarian violence. The jihadists are flowing in from all over the Middle East. This is erupting into a regional conflict where the United States' vital national security interests are at stake. If Bashar Assad goes, it's the greatest blow to Iran in 25 years. If they succeed in keeping him, that will be a great victory for the Iranians and everything that they represent. No, we don't want boots on the ground, and yes, we should be able to establish a no-fly zone relatively easily. If we can't, then we are wasting hundreds of billions of dollars of American taxpayers' money on national defense.
There are certainly complications in arming the rebels in this case. We've seen that in the past with other conflicts. Can you speak to that and perhaps some of what your concerns are, and also, in a way, how the U.S. can make sure that arms don't fall into the wrong hands, considering, all of the rebels aren't necessarily, I guess, the good guys. And you look at a conflict like this, and it gets very complicated. It's not as clear as those are the good guys and those are the bad guys.
Yeah, it was a lot less complicated a couple of years ago, and it was a lot less complicated a year ago, when every member of the national security team of the president's recommended giving arms to the rebels, and he turned that down. And now, every day that goes by, it's much more complicated. There are no good options. There's a chemical weapons caches, which have to be secured, which, if they spread around, could have catastrophic consequences. But all of the options that I'm talking about, how difficult they are, I'm talking about establishing a safe zone, neutralizing Bashar's air power, which is the decisive factor now in this conflict, as compared to doing nothing. Look what the consequences of doing nothing are. They are catastrophic in a regional conflict. So I don't say it's easy. I don't say that there are any really good options. But I know what the worst option is what we've been doing for the last 2 years, which is nothing.
Now, Senator McCain, can you give us a sense of how you found out that the U.S. would be arming the rebels?
I had heard that from a reliable source that I'm sure would not like for me to give you his name, Brianna, and I'm sure you understand that.
I certainly understand that.
But
and
the
I know
president, but the president, as you know, that what was just said, I think, corroborates that. Now, the question is what kind of weapons? They have enough light weapons. They've got enough AK-47s. AK-47s don't do very well against tanks. They need anti-tank weapons, and they need anti-air weapons.
All right, Senator John McCain, thank you so much for joining us here in the Situation Room. We will continue to follow this breaking news. The U.S. government now acknowledges.
These are globalists. These are not Americans. I have a hard time understanding I have a hard time really discussing this without my passion, because the very fine gentleman that has been on top of this since day one is very passionate about this, because, folks, this is we are being led to World War III.
John McCain let it slip in that audio clip. He said, if we take out Assad, it'll be the biggest blow to Iran in 25 years. Well, is that the real agenda here, like you said, a back door into Iran?
Well, the real agenda is the entire, the enslavement of the entire globe by the globalist bankers, because if you have, it involves the decimation of our military, it involves the abandonment and decimation of our military, it involves just a new global monetary system. All of this, that's the real agenda. But doing so, as a stepping stone, sure. I mean, Iran and don't forget, remember us talking about the rebuilding of the Ottoman Empire.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so all of this, yeah.
While John McCain and Lindsey Graham and Obama are pushing to arm and have been arming Al-Qaeda and the Muslim Brotherhood with tanks, planes, missiles, guns, bullets, food, water, personnel, money, Janet Napolitano here at home is denying the existence of an Orwellian state as Congress, in case you missed it on Thursday, the House of Representatives voted on an amendment that would have blocked the possibility for the president to lock up American citizens without trial.
See, they can, and here's the problem, ladies and gentlemen. You've got an out-of-control government that cannot give a straight answer about anything. You've got, or just flat-out lie with impunity.
Well, Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano talked about the NSA intelligence leaks on Friday, saying that fears of our government surveillance are overblown. This is what she said. I think people have gotten the idea that there is an Orwellian state out there and that somehow we're operating in it. That's far from the case, she told Errol Lewis during an appearance on Road to City Hall. Despite civil liberty advocates' fears that monitoring efforts have gone too far, there are lots of protections built into the system, as Napolitano said, pointing to a privacy office embedded in her own department that is constantly reviewing our policies and procedures. She further stressed the court review system. No one should believe that we are simply going willy-nilly and using any kind of data that we can gather, she said.
Okay. Now, let me stop you right there, Joe, because I don't think you and I haven't talked about this, and this was not packaged within the show prep for tonight. But Cheryl Atkinson from CBS News, folks, I don't know whether you know.
I heard about this, yeah.
Okay. Look, she's been on top of different subjects the subjects are of course, attempting to expose what's really going on in Benghazi and various other issues. Folks, I don't know whether you heard about this, but three days ago, CBS News came out and said that an investigation confirmed that on multiple occasions, Cheryl Atkinson, the reporter that's trying to get to the bottom of things like Benghazi and other things, her computer was the subject to sophisticated attacks. Did you?
A forensic expert has said or determined that her computer was hacked into.
Right, and it was about her report. Actually, it was the files about Benghazi were tapped.
And Fast and Furious.
True. I should have mentioned that as well. But Benghazi would be the latest one. But that said, folks, why? Why, if you think about this, why would this happen to Cheryl Atkinson? Well, the snoopers, she also of late here, Cheryl Atkinson said this, whoever invaded her work and home computers had access to her financial information. But they didn't touch any of that. Folks, don't you think that if a normal hacker out there, wouldn't they want to get into your bank account information, Look, I don't know how
that's
much.
That's what hackers do. That's what their goal is to do financial crimes and get
and
credit card numbers.
I've seen you do the hacking, man. I've seen. I've been watching. I watch you, and you go through, you know, and you say,
hey, I'm lucky if I can find the power button on the computer.
Yeah, I know you break things. But here's the thing. We are living, you know, you've got in my view, anyway, you've got Napolitano Big Sis out there. And I'm done being, I'm done having any gravitas left. Remember when Clinton was in office, that word gravitas, that was a big deal, or decorum. No. Are you serious, ladies and gentlemen? We've got a situation here where hackers are more concerned about her files on Benghazi and Fast and Furious, both weapons running operations, than the finances. So we're not talking about hackers. Who are we talking about? Who would be doing this? Do you think some North Korean
China.
Kid?
Yeah. Chinese government.
Yeah, exactly. Tongue in cheek, of course.
Going back to this House of Representatives voting down an amendment that would have blocked indefinite detention of American citizens without trial, goes on to say, unsurprisingly, our representatives, or so-called representatives, voted again against protecting constitutional rights of the citizenry in the name of the Orwellian state in the never-ending war on terror. If you need a refresher on the NDAA, and the authorization power it grants to the executive branch, I suggest you read one of the most popular posts ever, NDAA, the most important lawsuit in American history that no one is talking about. Goes on to say, after the amendment's failure, its sponsor, Representative Adam Smith, correctly called out Republicans for their complete and total hypocrisy when it comes to big government. This vote is against the United States Constitution, and it is a vote against due process. It is mind-boggling and extremely disappointing that the party who claims to fear big government overreach has voted again on an amendment to prevent the government from indefinitely detaining individuals detained on U.S. soil, including U.S. citizens. Now, the Huffington Post came out and said, supporters of detention argue that the nation needs to be able to arrest and jail suspected terrorists without trial, including Americans, on U.S. soil, for as long as there is a war on terror. Now, if you remember, who was it that said the war on terror could last 100 years?
What was the question?
Who said the war on terror could last up to 100 years?
Yeah, that question needed that. It bared repeating. Who did say that?
I don't know. I'm asking.
Hello?
It goes on to say here, Adam Smith. It's a dangerous step towards executive and military power to allow things like indefinite detention under military control within the United States. That is the heart and essence of this issue. Smith's amendment, which also had Republican sponsors including Chris Gibson of New York and Justin Amash of Michigan, would guarantee that anyone arrested in the United States gets a trial. You know, we need to destroy this country in order to save it. For a full list of the representatives that voted against the amendment, go here, says the article. I'll post a link in the chat room. This article is from libertyblitzkrieg.com.
Wait a minute. Who said we need to destroy the country to save it?
This is the tongue-in-cheek.
All right.
And underneath it is a picture of Gitmo detainees wearing face masks and plastic band ties on their hands, on their knees, as Americans with sticks and uniforms walk around. Looks like they're hitting them. Just wonderful. But Janet Napolitano, no Orwellian state, civil liberty advocates are blowing this way out of proportion, and there is a correct balance between security and civil liberties. It is a challenge, but it is something that people need to understand. It's a risk.
Well, okay, this kind of circles back around to the NSA scandal, and of course to Edward Snowden and other things, too. We need to talk about that.
Dick Cheney came out and called Snowden a traitor. And
of course,
pretty interesting to hear a member of PNAC, one of the bin Laden family business buddies, calling Snowden a traitor. Dick Cheney is in my opinion, one of the biggest traitors in this nation, and he has been since 9/11 and even before that. Cheney is...
Let's be a little bit more specific. Wait, no, I mean, I guess in a larger sense, he's a traitor to the, in my view at least, Dick Cheney does not have, if he were a parent in the United States of America, was a child, and he was entrusted with, just as Obama would be, or any, you know, anybody would be, in leaving that child for neglect, of course, Dick Cheney is not looking out for the best interest of his charge, that is the United States. Rather, he is looking in the best interest for a global government. This guy is a globalist. And when we talk about Illuminati, when we talk about the real leaders, the real power leaders, yeah, you correctly mentioned the document, that PNAC document. In my
Obama,
view.
Obama's come out now and said, I'm not Dick Cheney. But
no, you didn't. Did he?
Yes, he did. I am not Dick Cheney. Barack Obama used a television interview set to air Monday night to defend his administration's use of far-reaching surveillance on the NSA spying.
Wait, I have the
transcript here.
Wait a second. I'm confused. You're telling me that while Dick Cheney is calling Edward Snowden a traitor, Obama is calling or saying he's no Dick Cheney, but yet he's embracing this surveillance state in which we live.
Obama says, Charlie Rose interviewed him, and this is one of the questions in the middle of the interview. Should this be transparent in some way? Talking about the NSA surveillance spy state. And Obama said this, it is transparent. That's why we set up the FISA court. The whole point of my concern before I was president, because some people say, well, you know, Obama was this raving liberal before. Now he's, you know, Dick Cheney. Dick Cheney sometimes says, yeah, you know, he took it all lock, stock, and barrel. My concern has always been that we shouldn't do intelligence gathering to prevent terrorism, but rather we should be setting up a system of checks and balances. So on the telephone program, you've got federal court with independent federal judges overseeing the entire program. But he went on to say, yes, okay, I'm no Dick Cheney.
Okay, all right. Well, you know, let's talk about FISA court here for a second and NSA surveillance. Just for new listeners to understand, there's really two ways to the NSA is – let me oversimplify this. The NSA is charged with – monitoring communications, we'll say international communications, whether it be digital, email, that type of thing, as well as telephone. Now, we've been lied to because we've been lied to on multiple levels, on multiple, not scandals, but crimes.
And it's coming out now that, and I do have an audio whenever you want, that
okay.
These Snowden leaks are just the very tip of the iceberg of what's to come.
And look, this is exactly what my sources have been telling me, multiple sources. This is the tip of the iceberg, because here's the deal. First of all, and again, let me oversimplify the NSA deal real quickly here. What they're saying is, well, we're able to identify the number called in the United States or from the United States and to a number internationally, and the length and duration of the call and what have you. But at no time is anyone actively listening to these phone calls. This is what we're getting from our government or dealing with what the subject matter is, unless, of course, there are certain keywords that are triggered. And of course, that's classified, but it's on an international level specific to certain acts of terror, okay, or... Yeah, certain acts of terror. That's what this is all about. But think back to what Obama said. Obama was saying, well, now, you know, we can't possibly listen. We don't listen to everyone's phone calls.
I think I stole the clip.
Well, yeah, but that might be true. They don't listen to everyone's phone calls all the time, okay? But they do record the phone calls. They have, of course, now with, see, the digitization of the communications again, whether it be phone or email or whatever. It's much easier to store in a computer. And, of course, that's what these new servers are all about. And if you think, for example, that this is just beginning, no, this has been going on for a long time, where the communications were stored as data files on these computers. We are just hearing about it now, or the public is just hearing about it now. But go ahead.
Just reading this transcript from the interview from Obama and Charlie Rose. Charlie Rose posed a question to Obama.
Yeah, go
bigger
ahead.
And better than everybody else, talking about the NSA and their ability of intelligence gathering and their effectiveness. Obama says, bigger and better than everybody else. And we should take pride in that because they're extraordinary professionals. They are dedicated to keeping the American people safe. Now, here we go. What I can say unequivocally is that if you are a U.S. person, the NSA cannot listen to your telephone calls, and the NSA cannot target your emails, and they have not.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to find that out because...
We already have.
Well, okay. In my case...
No, I mean, it's... It is not. They've admitted it to it and said it's not a crime. It's constitutional. Judges oversee it.
Right.
Yes, it's being done, but it's being done for the interest of the safety. I mean, they listen to over 1 billion phone calls a day of American people. It's already been admitted. And this idiot is sitting here saying, no, they cannot by law listen. They cannot target a U.S. person's emails or their phone calls. We cannot listen to your phone calls.
They can only.
You've already done it.
Well, right, except to say they can do this, okay, for example, through a FISA court. In other words, see, people have a tendency to think this is all mechanical. There has to be a person behind, and the mechanics of it is, of course, mechanical, hence the reference. But, boy, that was a brilliant statement. But the fact of the matter is, there's got to be a person behind it or an agency supervisor or a group of people behind this saying, okay, let's look at, and I'm going to use B for example, let's look at Hagman's phone records here, and let's see who he's talking to, what he's saying. What are they interested in? Are they interested in the security of the United States of America? No. They're interested in ferreting out the sources, providing Hagman or James Rosen or, hey, whoever, Joe Smith, with they want to know where the information is coming from. Why? Is it because of security? No. It's because it's an attack on it's a political attack. If Nixon, if the internet existed, and just think about this, if the internet existed back in the Nixonian era, for those of you old enough to remember that, do you not believe that Nixon would have been using the internet, of course, to conduct surveillance? Absolutely, they would have been. This is what we're seeing right now. If you are anti-Obama, if you're anti-whatever, if you're a rabble-rouser against the Obama and New World Order agenda, and I should say New World Order agenda because that's exactly what it is. If you're a rabble-rouser and you're starting to make a difference by your actions and words, then you are going to be targeted. When I say targeted, I don't mean with a scope. I'm talking, maybe, ultimately. But I'm talking about with what you're saying. They wanna identify who's saying what. And it was explained to me like this. I think it has, by memory, something to do with the Chinese proverb. But that said, if you look at a lawn, like a finely cut lawn, a couple of days in the spring after some warm and wet weather, we'll say, what do you see if that lawn's not treated with weed killer? You see a whole bunch of dandelions popping up, right? Well, when those dandelions pop up, you identify the weeds and the lawn or the sources or the people talking, and then you're able to cut them down. Not one at a time, but with the lawnmower all at once. That's the process that's taking place. I don't know if that's a correct analogy.
And I want to do this real quick. Play this audio clip this is real quick, before I read this next article.
All right. Why do they get the idea, if it isn't ethnic, and I'll just leave the possibility that it's not, why do they just assume evil on the part of Obama? I mean, he's raised his whole life has been crystal clear and clean as a whistle and transparent. We know his whole life, through all the great excellent education he's had, pro bono work he's done throughout his life. He's never been a money grubber. He's never done anything wrong in his life, legally, ethically, whatever. His family is picture perfect, the way he's raised those daughters. Everything is clean as a whistle. And yet they just refer to him as evil. They just refer to him as I just got to believe it's ethnic with these people. They just got a problem with this guy being president. Well, is there any other evidence to justify why they keep calling him a bad man? And that's what they do.
Okay, that's Chris Matthews talking about the perfect man ever to walk the face of the earth, excluding Jesus. Is that your blood pressure?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, now, that President Obama and former Vice President Dick Cheney, who appeared on Fox News Sunday defending NSA's vast surveillance program, find themselves on the same side of so many highly controversial national security debates. Now, going back to that audio from Chris Matthews.
Yeah, please.
I didn't go searching for old videos of what Chris Matthews had to say about Dick Cheney, because I didn't even think I'd need to. But would I find him praising Dick Cheney for his expansive Nazi Gestapo tactics of militarization of the police, spying on all American citizens, and promoting his globalist agenda toward a one-world government? Well, would he get a tingle up his leg if Dick Cheney, came and sat with an interview with him?
Well, let's for a minute set aside Chris Matthews' man crush on Obama. Okay, let's just set that aside for a moment, if we can. His man crush on on Obama. Let's put that aside for a second. What is he saying here that he's not really saying, with his lips? He's saying, number one, that Obama is this great guy. Well, he did say that, but of course, number one, the race card is really kind of soaked in here, isn't it? The fact that he's a black man. I was waiting for that to come out. It didn't, but I was waiting for it. But you're right. We don't. But see, here's the thing. What do we know about Obama?
Well, we know that there are differences between Dick Cheney and Obama, but they do share some leadership traits. They trust their own judgment so thoroughly and value it so highly that they recklessly undermine all institutional and prudential restraints on their ability to exercise it wherever they see fit. This is from the Atlantic article about Dick Cheney and Obama sharing leadership traits. And they go on to liken it to Kobe Bryant at the end of a playoff game. They both harbor a barely suppressed, supremely arrogant belief that behaving in this way is their responsibility or even their burden.
See, folks, Joe is trying to kill me. Okay, he really is trying, honest to God, he's trying to kill me by playing Chris Matthews, because he knows how I feel about this.
I have more Chris Matthews, but I'll hold back on this hour at least. But no, I want to prove a point here. I'm just going through different mainstream media articles from all different points of view, from the Huffington Post to Fox News to the Atlantic to wherever you want. What is this other one here?
The
Washington Examiner, BuzzFeed, all these, some alternative and mainstream media outlets are not only praising Obama's legal justification for the NSA program, they are likening him to Dick Cheney, yet his vote with the quote-unquote liberals who hated the Bush regime and their tactics is just as popular as it ever was.
I'm reaching down here on my bookshelf next to my desk. Forgive me for up my
desk. The thing's not loaded, is it? No.
Which you just mentioned there, folks. If and when we spoke in North Carolina, I brought a catalog case of books we did a catalog case of books with us. And during our talk in North Carolina, we held up books which we believed were required reading. Okay, now, obviously, I couldn't bring all of the books, but in the book called The Naked Truth, The Naked Communist Revisited by James C. Bowers, it talks about exactly what you're hearing. Folks, if you do nothing else, because when we lose the internet, or if the internet ever gets throttled, or whatever, or you know what, read a book, okay? It's good to read. God gave us the ability to read. We should read. We don't have, it doesn't have to be on a computer screen. Grab a book where, that you can actually hold in your hands. But see, in The Naked Truth, it talks about the control of the media. Infiltrate the press. Get control of all editorial writing. Gain control of key positions in radio, television, and, of course, motion pictures, which is a separate topic altogether. But isn't this what has happened already for the communist goals? You see communism being a stepping stone for a one-world government. Isn't this exactly what we're seeing take place? Because when you see Chris Matthews talking about Obama as if he does have this man crush on him, when in fact he would talk about... No.
He talked about Obama as though he were Jesus Christ himself. I'm sure better than he would talk about the Lord, saying he's a perfect man. He is has the perfect family, never committed a crime, you know, never, exactly. Never committed a sin in his life. Name.
But under which name? Did he never commit the crime?
Larry
under
Sotero,
the
name? Barack Obama.
Look, folks,
Hussein
Obama,
Muhammad.
Look, and this was told to me last night by a gentleman in a very passionate way. Obama could not pass, right now he could not pass a background check to work as a janitor in the FBI building that we passed last week ago today. That we were in front of a week ago today.
The J. Edgar Hoover building?
The Department of Justice building,
yeah.
Or whatever. But
I wonder when
but,
Dick Cheney's going to take Obama hunting.
Well, I was sitting here at my desk, and I get this phone call, and it's hey Doug, this is Dick Cheney. You want to go talk hunting? I knew I was in trouble. Okay, I just knew it. I said, hey Dick, look, my schedule's pretty tied up right now. And he said,
man, that's okay. We'll have my guys pick you up, and you know, you'll need a shotgun. I got the shotgun. You don't need one.
And I thought, well, you know, okay. But now, folks, look, we in a way we do have to kind of add humor to this, but folks,
we're able to shoot holes in the new hot water heater.
Yeah, no, don't get me started on that.
Studio needed a new hot water heater because the one that was in it was only 45 years old and was leaking every day. And my dad, after weeks of stomping through water, got sick and tired of it and decided to spring for a new hot water tank.
And the buckets I found were filling too much too quickly. During break, I'd have to empty the buckets. So reluctantly, I after trying numerous friends to say, hey, you think you can give me a hand, maybe put a hot water tank in? Yeah, sure, okay, right. I had a breakdown and call a plumber. Every morning, I wake up and I wonder what's going to happen next. But it's kind of funny. So I had to decline Dick Cheney's hunting offer because of that. But you know what? We're being laughed at. We're being played. We're being gamed. This is so incredible what's taking place. It's just beyond incredible what's being taking place.
One of these last paragraphs in The Atlantic I'll read. Surveillance on Americans. Well, Obama welcomes debate on the trade-offs between liberty and security, except when Obama decides that significant legal interpretations and sweeping new policies should be kept secret, having already carefully balanced things himself. Debate is less important in the singular case in which the judgment of someone as wise as Obama can be substituted. Because on the CDC,
Do we have those, you know, those paddles that hang on the wall at restaurants that, you know, you can restart your heart or get it back in rhythm? Do we have a set of those?
Well, what he's referring to here in the article is Obama's regards to the War Powers Resolution as binding law and believes that the president does not have the power under constitutional to unilaterally authorize a military attack in a situation that does not involve stopping an actual or imminent threat to the nation. But legal and prudential standards, however, genuinely praised do not trump Obama's ad hoc judgment in situations like Libya where he violated the War Powers Resolution. Do you see the similarities now when it comes to doing whatever the hell one wants or doing or not doing it? Due to legitimate constraints. I'm reading an article. Cheney avowed preference and Obama's revealed preference are the same. In their own ways, they both subvert whatever it is that gets in their way. Obama thinks of himself as balancing lots of complicated factors, and somehow it always comes out that he has to assume more power than he thought when others were exercising it. And I'm not going to read the next paragraph if you have a problem with the last one. But with that, we're up against the break, folks. You're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report this Monday, June 17th, 2013.
Hey, well, let me tell you this before we go out. Tomorrow, 7:35 Eastern Time, I'll be at AFAQ, Pat Campbell. Oklahoma. Texas.
Hi, folks. Doug Hagman here. You might know me as the co-host from the Hagman and Hagman Report, or as a frequent guest on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. If you're like me, you're tired and confused over today's headlines. You just don't know where to turn for accurate, concise information about really what's going on, what's truly going on in today's society. If you don't know where to turn for accurate, well-researched, and properly vetted news, I've got a suggestion. In fact, it's a requirement. Bookmark Canada Free Press. That's CanadaFreePress.com on the internet. It's just not for Canada. It's for news across the world. Judy McLeod, founding editor, has put together a vast array of talented writers like Kelly O'Connell, Daniel Greenfield, Dr. Ilana Johnson-Powell, a lot of guest columnists, very talented writers. Folks, that's Canada Free Press at CanadaFreePress.com. Now mobile friendly. Follow on Facebook, because without America, there is no free world.
It's hard to imagine when things are going reasonably well just how quickly things can change. But what would it take? Economic collapse? Massive crop failure? Chemical or biological attack? So many situations could find you in the grocery looking to pick up food for your family only to find that the shelves are empty. There's nothing. Don't let that happen. Act today to make sure that if it ever comes to that, you and your family will be provided for. Visit freezedryguy.com to look at the wide variety of survival foods available. Freeze-dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy store longer, rehydrate faster, are nutritionally superior to, and taste better than any other long-term storage food available. Visit freezedryguy.com or call toll-free 866-404-3663. FreezeDryGuy.com.
You better wake up fast and listen to this, America. The Obama campaign has launched attack squads disguised as truth teams dedicated to intimidating and silencing all political dissent carried over the internet that criticizes the Marxist Obama. Truth Squad specifically focused on covering up Obama's endless trail of lies, corruption, and subversion, and using the Gestapo power of our own government to police and censor the internet and shut down websites that dare to carry the real truth about Obama's Marxist coup. Remember the names of these Gestapo-style agencies at work right there in your neighborhood: KeepingHisWord.com, KeepingGOPHonest.com, and AttackWatch.com. KGB, SS, and Gestapo-style police state gangster organizations at work to silence the important voices of patriot dissent, some of which have already been shut down by Obama's orders. Adolf Hitler would have been proud. We're the 21st century Tea Party Patriots.
Ladies and gentlemen, the very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned, no secret is revealed. That is why the Athenian lawmaker Solon decreed it a crime for any citizen to shrink from controversy. I am asking your help in the tremendous task of informing and alerting the American people, confident that with your help, man will be what he was born to be, free and independent.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You can handle the truth, right, ladies and gentlemen? They do every day. If you listen to us, you can handle the truth.
I don't listen to us, and I listen to Fox News and MSNBC Truth. Is that okay?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to hour number two on this post-Father's Day day. This is a live broadcast. It's June 17th, 2013. I hope everyone out there who's got a father, who has a father alive, visited their father. I know. I visited. Let's not talk about that. I'm still angry about that. You know, I looked at, you know what? I sat by the door waiting for you.
You should have been sitting by the phone. I called you like six times throughout the day and no answer.
No, I'll tell you, I was busy as heck yesterday. But I got to tell you, I did visit my father, his grave. And if you have a father and if he's alive, hopefully you gave him a call yesterday at the very least. And if you didn't, do it today. A couple of things before we get back in. I want to welcome the new stations coming on for the second hour. And want to welcome individuals all throughout the United States, all across the world. And thank you for listening. During the break, I got a call from a gentleman I admire, I respect. He's probably one of the finest individuals I've ever had the pleasure of speaking with. Full of information. You thought I was going to say something else, right? No. But very, very full of information. And he said, you know, you might want to revisit what you said about the former French foreign minister. The war against Syria was planned 2 years before Arab Spring. Think about that for a second. Folks, before there was, and when he said it, I thought, wow, you know, like the facepalm type thing. You're right. In an interview, and I just want to just drive this home in a very methodical way here. Think about this. You've got a former French minister for foreign affairs. The guy's name is Roland Dumas. Talking to a French TV station, saying, I'm going to tell you something. I was in England, not keyword there. I was in England 2 years before the violence in Syria on other business. I met with top British officials who confessed to me that they were preparing something in Syria. So you've got before Arab Spring, you've got before the violence, the internal strife, the internal killing, the mass killings in Syria. You've got a guy making an admission. His admission, this was in Britain, not in America. Britain was organizing an invasion of, quote, rebels into Syria. The whole thing's a quote. What am I saying? They even asked me, although I was no longer Minister for Foreign Affairs, if I'd like to participate. Folks, whose war are we fighting? Whose objectives are we fighting? Remember us talking about the city within the city, that small city, the city of London, where the banking giants are going to be held, where royalty lives. Is this who we're fighting for? Is this the agenda for whom your sons and daughters, your fathers and mothers and brothers and sisters will shed their blood for to accomplish the objectives of the UK, or which by the way, will just happen to superintend and to manage the world global governance system? Is this what we're seeing taking place right before our very eyes? And folks, are you signed on to this? Is this okay with you to lose a son or a daughter or a mother or a father, brother, sister, whatever, a family member? Is this okay? Is it okay that we're going to embroil ourselves in a war, a world war, by the way, where we're going to find ourselves face-to-face with Russia? Oh, yes, I understand that we have the same objectives as Obama and Putin. I understand the objectives will be the same. They want stoppage of violence. But, folks, what they're not telling you, and this is the 3D part, this is the news behind the white noise of the headlines, what they're not saying is the means are different. Obama is saying we want Muslim Brotherhood in there and the formation of this Islamic caliphate. Putin is saying, get the heck out of Dodge. Leave the whole thing alone. Who's right? Well, I dare say Putin. By the way, and I'm going to stray here a bit, think about this. Who's prohibiting homosexuals from coming into the country? Is it America or is it Russia? Who is saying, no, we're not going to allow same-sex marriages? Is it Russia or is it America?
Really? I mean, okay. Who looks like the sensible country or leader?
Right. Right.
Where exactly would you rather live? In a nation that allows, or not only allows, but welcomes homosexual marriage? Now we have an article here.
Hang on a second,
gay marriage.
Okay, wait. I'm sorry I even opened that up because I know you got some stuff here. But let me just finish a couple of things real quick on this. Dumas, Roland, as I like to call him, Roland. I kind of like that name, by the way. Anyway, look, he says this operation goes way, way back. It was prepared, preconceived, and planned in the region. It's important to know that. The Syrian regime has a very anti-Israeli stance, but that's not the very anti-Israeli stance. That's part of the equation. But you've got to understand, folks, this, what we're seeing right now, and as Joe has pointed out many times, is biblical, and as my source likes to say, what we're seeing right now is for all of the marbles. What we're seeing play out, folks, is what's coming. What we're seeing right now is the calm before the storm here in June. That's why we've dedicated the Sunday nights to prayer and fasting, for national and international prayer and fasting. I hope you were on your knees if you were physically capable of doing so last night. I know I was. In fact, I'll tell you right now, I fell asleep on my knees. Sorry, I'm not bragging. I'm actually laughing at myself. But
and it's interesting because 2 years ago or a year ago, would you ever thought that you would do a show and be praying afterwards?
No, but I'll tell you one thing. Prayer is about the only way we've got a chance. And speaking of something, you know, I forgot to mention this earlier, off topic, and then we can go into what you have as well. I forgot to mention this earlier. Steve Quayle, his daughter, Stephanie Quayle. Folks, she's got a YouTube channel. She is a country western singer, okay? And I don't think Steve, I hope I've got his permission to say this.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah. In fact, I've got a signed CD from Stephanie. She's just number one, she's a gorgeous young lady. And I was kidding around Steve this morning, I think it was, saying she must be adopted, because how could such a pretty young girl, a young 30, it's young to me, but how is that possible, Steve? And he laughed and said, yeah, you're right. You know, I mean, it's she's a gorgeous lady. But if you go to a search, and folks, remember, on the Hagman and Hagman Report, Google is not a verb. Okay. But if you do a search for Stephanie with P-H, S-T-E-P-H-A-N-I-E, Quayle, Q-U-A-Y-L-E, do a YouTube search. What a gorgeous voice she's got. And she sings with passion, and she's got, I'm going to tell you, she's an up-and-coming country western star, singing star. She just released a new album this past week. She's on all the social networking sites, but I've got to say this. Listen to her sing. Gorgeous voice, good, clean lyrics, and now some of the purists might say, well, involving country westerner singing, you know, it's bad. No, look, God gave us music. God gave us music to enjoy. Even drop Steve a line saying, boy, I watched your daughter, you know, heard from Doug and Joe Hagman. What a great, if you feel so inclined, if you think, you know, she'd, her voice is good and her songs are good, to drop Steve a line saying, fantastic, you know, do so. Because I know if I had a daughter like that, and I've got beautiful, I mean, not to say, I mean, I've got beautiful daughters and they're talented in their own way, but singing on the, like that, holy cow. So, Stephanie Quayle on YouTube, have a listen. Drop Steve a note saying that Doug and Joe recommended, you know, you listen. And if you like it, you know, just drop him a note saying, wow, what a beautiful. And he'll pass it along to Stephanie. I just think it's fantastic. Again, we have to find enjoyment. We have to find balance. We have to, you know, sometimes you just have to go out and walk the dog, really. Or sometimes you just have to go out and mow the lawn or weed the garden or take a walk or get an ice cream cone. It's all part of that. Other times you have to be on your knees and reading the Bible and then the Word. But balance, 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 balance. But there you go. All right. Go ahead and get into the bad stuff here.
The Pew, this TV newser.
It was the blog, right?
MediaBistro.com, Pew. Every TV news outlet had coverage supportive of same-sex marriage. A new survey from the Pew's Project for Excellence in Journalism examines the coverage of gay marriage among the media. The big takeaway, almost every media outlet presented more supportive statements in favor of gay marriage than opposing statements against gay marriage, including every TV news outlet. Pew looked at every segment on gay marriage from March 18th through May 12th and classified every statement made on the issue as being supportive of gay marriage or opposed to gay marriage, or neutral. As a whole, the network monitoring shows presented 44 statements in favor of gay marriage, none opposed, and 56 neutral.
Well, what does that tell us? It tells us, remember that quote from the Naked Communist about the infiltration, and of course it involved motion pictures and television. You've got this moral digger, this intentional redefinition of what is normal. You've got this intentional redefining of
as the Bible says,
morality.
For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap
themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables.
You know,
very interesting.
Wow.
It also goes on to say, yea, and all that will live godly in Jesus Christ shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in those things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them.
All right.
To those who are believers in the world, in this ungodly world, to remain close to the Word, close to the Lord through your relationship, for else you can be caught up in a snare. And the snare is what we see here, these subtle, supporting gay marriage, supporting all the things that are wrong, all the things that even I, as a child growing up, was told were bad and things you shouldn't do.
I mean, growing up, is that a new word?
Growing up. When I was growing up, I was taught what was right and wrong. Everything I see now that is wrong is glamorized.
And that's the problem. That's one of many.
But. You have a whole generation of people who, instead of going outside and playing football or baseball or hide and go seek tag in the dark like we did when we were young, BB gun fights, they're now these electronic machines,
yeah,
with TVs, where they were getting inundated and brainwashed by these supporting same-sex statements, supporting, all-inclusive, one-faith, Christ consciousness, Oprah stuff, New Age deceptions. And the New Age, I want to thank somebody, How to Protect Your Child from the New Age Spiritual Deception. This book was sent to me.
It was sent, actually, I believe,
yeah,
it was
sent to us.
Marianne sent us.
Okay.
God bless you.
And it says, how can we equip our children so they do not become spiritually deceived and fall into this worldwide agenda? How can we teach them to have courage to say no to seductive enticements? Some of these seductive enticements are things like these TV shows. There is an answer. We can teach our children to know the truth so they will discern the counterfeit and see, and we can teach them how to spot the new age, new spirituality, to understand the serious implications that occur when it is embraced. And what we are seeing is this global transformation, assault on biblical Christianity, the war on Christianity. I even heard it on Bloomberg News, I think, over the weekend. They were talking about Obama's war on Christianity. And it is real. It is here. And it is not just Obama. It is the people around him. It is the agenda that is anti-Christian. It is George Bush. It is Bill Clinton. It is Obama. It is Biden. It is Boehner. It is everybody who sits in power that refuses to speak out for what they know is the truth.
You know, you bring up a good point here, and folks, go ahead.
We have to make sure, you know, according to Chris Matthews, I'm going to play this clip here just for you.
Oh.
People can't be obsessed with certain subjects. In this instance, he's talking about guns.
Here we go.
You know, Ron, I know where you stand. You've been very strong on this, and I want to ask you, this is a self-deliberative question. People have long-distance running mentalities and sprint mentalities, and I think the people who have been for gun safety, like you and I, have been guilty of being pretty good at the sprint. Bobby Kennedy gets shot. I write a letter to my...
Oh, that's such a shame. I didn't have anything to do with that.
Don't tell me it didn't put... God must be looking after your heart today.
Explain that, because it's important.
Went on a tyrant and a tirade and says that these people who are pro-gun rights are, he says, change the freaking subject. These obsessive pro-gun people, you know, there's scandals like from the IRS, how some people jump from news to the IRS scandal to the NSA scandal. Why aren't they getting away from this gun issue and just let it go? Just let us take your guns away. Why are they so obsessed?
Well, yeah, because And folks, you know the answer to this, of course. What's really behind the attack, or this, as Chris Matthews says, what's the gun safety? What's really behind this?
Gun safety, like the gun-free zone in Chicago where 46 people were shot this weekend.
Yeah, really? I mean, you go to Chicago, where there are more murders per day on some days than in Iraq and Afghanistan and Baghdad or Kandahar. I mean, come on.
Did you see this article? An eighth grader who refused to remove a pro-gun NRA T-shirt.
I did. Yeah,
he's
going to
face a year in prison. A year in prison. Perhaps a suddenly firearm-friendly Obama can put a good word in for Jared Markham in April. Markham, an eighth grader at Logan Middle School in Logan, West Virginia, was arrested when he refused to take off his NRA T-shirt, the New York Daily reports. The clothing kerfuffle began when Markham wore a shirt bearing the NRA logo and a hunting rifle. He stood in line in the cafeteria as a teacher ordered him to either change his shirt or turn it inside out. Markham declined and was sent to the principal's office,
An
officer was dispatched after he again refused to comply with the school's request. The cops then arrested him, charged him with disturbing the educational process and obstructing an officer. Last week, he appeared before a judge and was officially charged with obstructing an officer. If convicted, he could face up to a $500 fine or a one-year prison sentence. He will be back in front of the judge on July 11th if his attorney cannot get the charge dismissed before then.
Well, I think Canada Free Press probably had the best coverage of this yesterday. Robert Laurie writes, if you live in scenic Logan County, West Virginia, you should know that your out-of-control police and judges are willing to arrest and prosecute 14-year-olds if they're wearing the wrong T-shirt. And just as you said, Joe, this whole thing is this kerfluffle, as they call it. But look, back in April, this happened in April. And what is this, June? Jared was in line for lunch. Teacher spotted
him with a gun on his shirt. And who knows? He could have cut the gun out of his shirt and maybe used it.
Well,
No, wait, that's not a real gun.
It's still scary. I'm scared. I'm scared. You know, since it's just a T-shirt, by the way, this Robert Laurie writes, this educator, of course, educator, gave him three options. Number one, turn the shirt inside out. Yeah. And number two, change your clothes. Or three, go to the principal offices and get suspended. Well, Mr. Markham refused to remove the violent, deeply offensive piece of cotton. And that's when the cops were summoned. And according to the student, they were called solely, quote, because I would not take the shirt off because I believe I have a right to wear this.
Well, the article from the National Review says one can understand this sort of silliness across the border in Maryland, as they have ridiculously strict gun laws and a short history of going after children with Nerf guns and hand gestures that are guns.
But,
after all, the state whose senators campaign featured an ad of shooting Obama's cap and trade bill.
I have to laugh at But look, some people will say, well, the dress code was the dress code of the school, and this was addressed in Canada Free Press because they're pretty comprehensive. And the school only forbids children or students from wearing shirts featuring depictions of violence or profane words and discrimination. Now, a belief in the Second Amendment, Joe, is that profane? Apparently.
Well, no. See, the issue is not about it being profane. It is training the children to obey the government at such an early age where they won't question a couple years down the road when they're looking down the barrel of a gun themselves, being told to get into the buses, get into the trains.
That's right. And the according to the county documents. And folks, you're going to see more and more of this all over the country. I guarantee you. Jared refused to be silent. His talking supposedly interfered with the officer's ability to do his very important T-shirt investigation.
Yeah, what was the charge? Interfered with the officer's ability to get him to do what the officer wanted him to do? Because he wouldn't listen, he interfered with the officer's?
The
officer said, take your shirt off or change
right.
your shirt. The kid said no. The guy says, the officer says, okay, you're interfering with my ability to do my job?
Well, he was actually arrested for
being disobedient rather than hindering a police officer in there.
Yeah, and you're right. You're right. He was arrested for obstructing administration of justice as well as disturbing the education process. You're muted there. Go ahead.
The public school indoctrination process.
Exactly.
On the paperwork.
Yes. And so this young man should,
you're in jail.
You're in jail. I mean, come on. Are you serious? Can anyone remember when schools taught kids to stand up for their rights rather than persecuting them for doing so? And that statement, of course, is by Robert Laurie, Canada Free Press, yesterday. You can find that article yesterday under the title
"No
for Police Gone Wild: 14-year-old wears NRA T-shirt to school." Wow.
Obama recently in a speech said, don't listen to the people talking about tyranny engulfing this nation. It is not something needing to be worried about. But here, going back to the NSA, I have this one clip I want to play. It is important because it says that this is the Snowden leak is just the tip of the iceberg. And also, this relates to how we're going to segue into the next issue that will affect your privacy. Obamacare will share personal health information with federal and state agencies. Also, there have been 60 million health records, I think, that have already been shared. And I will pull up that article while we go to this clip here. This from CNN, I think. I hope
the revelations of the G20 spying come as the scandal caused by Snowden's earlier disclosures on the extent of U.S. surveillance after its own and foreign citizens is gaining momentum. Dozens of lawsuits are being filed against the government's practices, while many lawmakers continue to defend the operation. It has also emerged that the scope of the surveillance and the help it received from corporations may have been underestimated. Here's our Washington correspondent, Ganesh Chakan, with more.
What Edward Snowden revealed could be just the tip of the iceberg. We're learning that in addition to internet giants, thousands of U.S. technology, finance, and manufacturing companies that include software and hardware producers, banks, internet security providers, satellite telecommunications companies, thousands are working closely with U.S. national security agencies. According to the people familiar with the exchange, the cooperation of some of the companies has helped the U.S. government infiltrate computers worldwide. So this certainly adds to Edward Snowden's account. Snowden said he believed that the NSA has carried out more than 1,000 hacking operations globally. Snowden said he was releasing the information to demonstrate, quote, the hypocrisy of the U.S. government when it claims that it does not target civilians infrastructure, unlike its adversaries. He also said, quote, we hack network backbones, like huge internet routers, basically, that give us access to the communications of hundreds of thousands of people, of computers, without having to hack every single one. And these sources who speak on the condition of anonymity say U.S. companies help intelligence agencies do exactly that. And they say it's not subject to any oversight. Now, it's all done, of course, under the umbrella of national security, but there are some very obvious discrepancies here. Robert Mueller, director of the FBI, for example, he said the massive surveillance program that the U.S. has now could have prevented 9/11. Then what about the Ford Hood shooting in 2009. The perpetrator of that one, Nidal Malik Hassan, had been exchanging emails with Anwar al-Awlaki for a period of time, or Tamerlan Tsarnaev, multiple warnings over several years, radical content on his YouTube webpage. one may ask the question, then why this massive collection of information when all of that was missed?
Well, it's not just the U.S. government that's under fire for the extent of the surveillance. Many wonder why so many companies supplied the NSA with data. RT's Lucy Kafanoff looks at what might be in it for the firms.
This story certainly raises more questions than it answers. As my colleague reported earlier, we know now that thousands of companies have been sharing sensitive information with the U.S. government in exchange for various benefits. Now, this raises concerns about the extent of the private sector collaboration with the U.S. government, not to mention questions about what exactly those benefits were. Now, the details may be murky at this point, but let's go over exactly what information we have. Now, companies who did hand over data to the government got a big thank you. That's according to Michael Hayden, who used to head the CIA as well as the National Security Agency, which runs, of course, the PRISM program. Now, Mr. Hayden told Bloomberg this: if I were the director and had a relationship with a company who was doing things that were not just directed by law, but were also valuable to the defense of the republic, I would go out of my way to thank them and give them a sense as to why this is necessary and useful. All right, well, what kind of thank you exactly are we talking about here? Well, again, not a lot of details, but anonymous sources did tell Bloomberg that leaders of the companies who handed over data to the government were showered with attention and information by government agencies. In fact, in some instances, that meant quick warnings about the threats that could affect their bottom line, for example, serious internet attacks and who's behind them. Of course, this exchange of information is supposed to be voluntary, and while at this point we don't exactly have evidence that this is not the case, but while most of the companies seem to have participated simply because the government asked them for help, one former CAO paints a slightly different picture. In 2001, when some telecom giants allegedly were asked to participate in an NSA information sharing program, one company, Quest, initially refused to play ball. And according to court documents filed by its then-CAO, Joseph Nachio, as a result of that decision, the company was denied lucrative NSA contracts he believed to be worth $50 to $100 million. Retaliation, he says, for refusing to partake in the government spy program. So to sum it up, companies that shared data earned government goodwill, information about threats, possible classified information, and, of course, there's concern that those who did not play along could have been left out of lucrative government contracts. Of course, we don't have more information on this, but that's precisely the point. The lack of transparency about this data swap is a major concern. Now, it's done in the name of security, but at what cost and to whom? Lucy Kafanov reporting for RT in Moscow.
At what cost? Your freedom? And to whom? It's the American citizens in this.
Right.
Speaking to lack of privacy, as article on the New American today says, say goodbye to medical privacy under Obamacare. Meanwhile, the Supreme Court has saying now that Arizona or states can't demand proof of citizenship from people registering to vote in elections unless they get federal court approval to do so.
Yes, you heard me right. Over the board in like one paragraph there. We go from Snowden to illegal immigrants.
Well, we'll circle it all back around. Today's decision sends a strong message that states cannot block their citizens from registering to vote by superimposing burdensome paperwork on these people.
Yeah, it's really a pain in the butt. It's really a pain in the butt.
Well, I'll tell you what. You don't have to show ID to vote. Let's not have to show ID to get a loan. Maybe I can go to a bank and say I'm Barack Obama and go get a loan out in his name. I don't want to be burdened with all the paperwork and having to prove who I am to get some money.
Of course not.
But no, this is, you know why they're doing this? Because they're going to implement the national registry, the national ID law, and they don't want states like Arizona making their own requirements before they roll out their national registry ID database that is already in the making, as now there are several states that use photo ID databases that have become police treasure troves. Faces of more than 120 million people are in a searchable photo database that state officials have assembled to prevent driver's license fraud, but that has increasingly been used by police to identify suspects, accomplices, and even innocent bystanders
in a wide range of criminal investigations. The facial databases have grown rapidly in recent years and generally operate with a few legal safeguards beyond the requirement that searches are conducted for law enforcement purposes. Amid rising concerns over the NSA's high-tech surveillance aimed at foreigners, I guess we're foreigners. It is facial recognition programs that are more typically involving American citizens.
All right, I just got a couple of things to say. Number one, Edward Snowden. Okay, the PRISM, the PRISM. The Prism Project, which he detailed. Folks, do you think that Edward Snowden provided any information that was not known to any foreign government? No.
Well, let me ask this. If the Obama administration is the most transparent administration,
right?
What's the difference? I mean, what does he have to hide? I mean, there should be no secrets. If there is no... If there is full transparency, then there is no secrets. Then there's no secrets to leak.
Well, obviously, for national security, we've got, you know, we have to have some level of a bit of opaque, may I say. But here's the problem with this. To me, Edward Snowden did the American public a service, not a disservice, but a service. By showing the extent, by telling you, the American citizen, the extent of the surveillance that is upon us. Now, you might think, and I've heard people call him a traitor. A traitor to what? Are you serious? We don't have a clue who in the world sits in the Oval Office. Really, do we really know who's there, what his real legal name is? We don't know where his allegiance lies, except to say it certainly doesn't lie with the United States. And yet we've got Snowden who's saying, hey, Americans, you're being lied to through surveillance, and here's how. And it, you know, folks, look, he's not a traitor. Believe what you want to believe. The fact of the matter is he did not reveal any state secrets. You want to know who the traitors are? Let's talk about Bill and Hillary Clinton. Let's talk about Bill Clinton's submission of data to the Chinese during his term. Let's talk about others. Let's talk about Kissinger. Let's talk about the previous administrations. You want to talk about traitors activity and seditious activity. Edward Snowden, all he did is say, hey, look, folks, Obama is lying. And for that, you've got both Democrats and Republicans that are on him saying, oh, he's a traitor and should be treated as one. But you know what? They're globalists.
After all the information that has come out about the spying program, let's once again revisit Obama's opinion and belief about spying on American citizens.
This administration also puts forward a false choice between the liberties we cherish and the security we provide. I will provide our intelligence and law enforcement agencies with the tools they need to track and take out the terrorists without undermining our Constitution and our freedom. That means no more illegal wiretapping of American citizens. No more national security letters to spy on citizens who are not suspected of a crime. No more tracking citizens who do nothing more than protest a misguided war. No more ignoring the law when it is inconvenient. That is not who we are. And it's not what is necessary to defeat the terrorists. The FISA court works. The separation of powers works. Our Constitution works. We will again set an example for the world that the law is not subject to the whims of stubborn rulers and that justice is not arbitrary. This administration acts like violating civil liberties is the way to enhance our security. It is not. There are no shortcuts to protecting America.
Unless I am the leader.
Really?
Well, that's 2007.
Oh, my goodness, folks. I'll bring it back on me just momentarily, because I found myself to be in this position by the NSA. And by the way, Marika Peshman from Canada Free Press is doing a fine job on my behalf to get the FOIA requests and everything else out. But here's the thing. You might think, well, and I've heard it said, well, if I'm not doing anything wrong, or if you're not doing anything wrong, you've got nothing to worry about. That's the wrong answer, because it's the wrong answer. You've got the Bill of Rights. The Bill of Rights is non-negotiable. You've got the Constitution. It's non-negotiable. You've got laws. Non-negotiable. You've got freedoms and liberties that are non-negotiable, yet you've got this tyrannical government, out-of-control government, that is invading your lives. And you know what? Few people are saying anything about it. Oh, Letterman, yeah, make jokes. Leno, make jokes. Colbert, make jokes. Stewart, make jokes. They're idiots. In fact,
they're tools.
Exactly. Yeah. In addition to being idiots, they're, and I say idiots, perhaps even by proper definition of the word. But the fact of the matter is, this is why. The acceptance of things like this is why your wife is getting felt up at the airport, and your daughter is getting sexually violated at the airport or on the side of the street by TSA agents and or police departments. Now, I'm not saying all police departments are. It's the federalization. This is why we need to stop feeding the beast. I believe there's, in addition to prayer, there's one other way out of this, and I'm going to digress just a little bit. If everyone, and again, the gentleman I was speaking to earlier, he said, can you imagine if everyone just stopped buying on the internet for one day or one week? Wouldn't it be great? You think that would grab people's attention? How about this? How about we stop feeding the beast and stop paying taxes?
Oh,
I wonder what list I'm on now.
Now this is really good what you just brought up, because we Americans have the power to stop this beast tomorrow. Don't go shopping anywhere. Don't buy gas. Don't anyone buy gas tomorrow. Don't anyone buy plane tickets. Don't anyone buy anything from anywhere tomorrow. If we could get half of the American people to go out, if we could get American people, say, fill up your tanks. Get gas, get everything you're going to need, and then pick a week. We'll pick, you know, next week. An all-out boycott of buying anything.
Okay, now wait a second.
That would slow down. I mean, we choose to participate in the system. Yes, we are really given little hope to break free of the system they put in place. But if we just stopped feeding the beast, like you said, stop paying our taxes, stop shopping at anywhere except maybe locally owned establishments.
No, we can't even do that. I know it's going to hurt for that period of time, the locally owned businesses, but let me ask
you. But not as much as with the corporations at all. It would drive the corporations. It would help the local businesses in the long run.
Yes.
If nobody shopped at Walmart for 2 weeks, nobody in America shopped at Walmart for 2 weeks, they'd probably have to shut down. Or they would have to seriously rethink what they were doing. If nobody bought gas, if nobody. And I know that's something that, you know, people were – and this is the thing. They make us dependent on their systems. They offer us the cars. They offer us the gas. Obviously, we have to pay for the gas to fuel our cars to get to work. But there's a way that this can be done. It can be effective. Will it be done? I wish it could.
Just like we have the Sunday sessions for prayer and fasting – folks, maybe you can help us out, and maybe a week or two, or we'll pick like a period of time in the near future where we can make this happen. But let me ask you a question, Joe. How many taxes? This is not just federal income tax, but that's something different and bigger. But let me ask you a question: how many taxing entities do you think that there are? Different taxing entities that there are?
Oh, there's many. You have the IRS. You have the everything is taxed.
Right.
So if you're talking about buying food.
90,000. 90,000, ladies and gentlemen. So 90,000.
90,000 and four, maybe, because now you have the rain tax, the air tax, carbon tax.
I think
Obama tax.
Or I love Obama tax.
No, they don't like a tax. They get free phones.
That's right. But I think perhaps maybe, because once again, if you look at the heart of this, what's financing the wars? What's financing our involvement in World War III coming up? It's the federal income tax system. It's been designed that way. It's a central
Well, yeah, but also it is what the globalists and leaders consider us is as, and I think Ricky Ray said this, and many other people have said this, is worker bees, worker drones. We are there to fuel the system through our taxes. Whether it is paying tax on our gasoline, whether it's paying tax on cigarettes, food, whatever. They tax everything, and
right.
They use that money not to offset the debt, obviously. They use it for their war machine. They use it to send $450 million in military equipment to Egypt. They use it to send billions of dollars of aid to our sworn enemy, Al-Qaeda, in Syria, in Libya, in Turkey, in Jordan, in Saudi Arabia. I mean, once back in a time ago, they used to say Britain owned America. I think it's been split up between Saudi Arabia and Britain now.
But ultimately, I got to tell you, it's, you know, if you look at who's behind, and that article that I, or the information, the article slash I read about the former French minister, former French foreign minister, about how the war in Syria was planned 2 years before Arab Spring. I mean, my goodness, folks, if you don't see, with, by the way, once again, the British. So who's going to, in the end, who's going to overtake us, or who's going to superintend this new financial globalist system? It's going to be London, and we should be looking at that. I got an email today, and let me see here if I can find it here. I'll be brief here with this. It says, Doug, the following is from a friend. I'm not gonna give the name of the friend out, who has a big following for his website. Okay. Can you help me answer his questions? And it's important that we get him on board because he's got a large following. Well, look, you know what? I'm glad he's got a large following. But getting him on board, it would be nice. But how much more, what more information do you need? Here's the essence of the email. I'm wary of claims of an imminent collapse of the U.S. dollar when Illuminatus Donald Trump is predicting it. Grab your wallet and run the other way. The reality is there is no other currency that can replace the U.S. dollar on an international level in the foreseeable future. Really? Okay, is that what you're... This person goes on to say that I know the traders want to create a cashless society and want to replace the U.S. dollar with an international currency similar to the euro. But just because they want it doesn't mean it's going to happen or will happen. When you've got nearly 7 billion people in the world already accustomed to viewing the U.S. dollar to dominate world currency, you can't get all those people to change gears overnight. It's just not going to happen. Hey, newsflash for you, sir. It's already happening. You want me to try to... If that is your level of acceptance, if that is your level of understanding, I don't even know what to say to you. If that's your level, and you've got a following, sir... Look, the Hegelian dialectic, they've already created the solution. They're creating the problem. By the way, $9 million is missing from the Federal Reserve.
$9 million?
Or $9 trillion. What am I saying?
I wonder how much they can print in a day if they'll even really miss it. We're a few minutes away from the break. We're going to be taking calls the rest of the third hour, 661-244-9839. I didn't mean to jump in there with that.
No,
breakdown.
That's fine.
Okay,
you know,
I got a few things to say before we take
I'm not going to, you know what, I'm not even going to go any further on this, only because if that is your level of understanding, then you're going to have to do your research, do your own homework. How much more evidence do you need, except when you've got Tim Geithner telling Kyle Bass, we are going to kill the dollar? Excuse me, is there any ambiguity in that statement?
We don't even need the evidence that we see in the news today. We just need to go back to scripture.
Have you gone to the writer's first name is Ken. And there's a lot of Kens in the world, so I don't think I'm, you know, talking out of school. But, hey, Ken, have you gone to the grocery store lately? Have you noticed how little your dollar is buying? Have you noticed the price of peanut butter? I'm sure mom down the road, I certainly have noticed it. Hey, I eat peanut butter sandwiches. Why? Well, it's protein, and you know what? At one time, it was inexpensive. Now you got to pay $7 for a can of peanut butter. Is it the cost of the peanut butter that's gone up, or is it the value of the dollar that's gone down? Ken?
All right. Good news here before the break. Folks, you know the Bible Drive that has been so graciously pushed into full speed by American Survival Wholesale. We have got $250 paid for in shipping costs, paid for the shipment of Bibles already.
From your efforts, from involvement.
Our audience, yes.
Oh, God bless every one of you who has partaken in this.
The goal is to ship 1,000 Bibles. Therefore, we need 750 more dollars to complete the shipping of the 1,000 Bibles. Now,
wait a second.
American Survival Wholesale is running a new way. It was just buy one non-GMO can of vegetables or non-GMO can of food, and that would pay for the shipping of 2 Bibles. Now, any purchase you make from American Survival Wholesale of $20 or more of any product will go toward the shipping of 2 Bibles. Our goal is to reach $1,000. I plan on purchasing some non-GMO canned food to help support the shipping of these Bibles. I hope anybody out there with the means will also go to American Survival Wholesale, buy some non-GMO cans, buy $28 worth of anything they have for sale, and you are supporting 2 Bibles being shipped to those who need them. Those folks who need Bibles, who don't have them, send your emails to BibleDrive@HomelandSecurityUS.com, and we will get those emails over to American Survival Wholesale, and they will ship those Bibles out. You don't need to buy anything if you need a free Bible. And folks who want to help support the shipping of the free Bibles, make a $20 purchase or more of anything from American Survival Wholesale, or buy some non-GMO canned foods from there. And for each can, I think 2 Bibles will be able to be shipped.
Well, I got to tell you, I mean, just for those nameless people on the forums, look, we're not getting anything out of this, nor is American Survival Wholesale. I want to make that clear. We're humbled to be able to partner up with them. It was their initiative. I mean, we brought it up initially, but they stepped forward and said, "Hey, we're going to do this. We're going to do it."
We wanted to put something together where people donated Bibles and we would give them new homes, and we were going to purchase some Bibles to give away. And American Wholesale Survival stepped up and answered a prayer with a miracle and have 1,000 Bibles to give away to those in need of a Bible.
Yeah, and I just want to say thank you to American Survival Wholesale for being there, for being. And I'm going to tell you something, Joe. You and I spoke with the owners of that company. Have you ever heard more affirmative Christian principles than that. I mean,
and this is so important, because as people are finding the truth, there are many New Age tactics that are used to take people away from what the real truth is, the core of good and evil, the core of God and the evil of Satan that is influencing this world that we live in. As we were warned, when the end times will come, we will see people who are blasphemous, disobedient, lovers of self, lovers of money, without natural affection, truth breakers, despisers of those who are good. We see that happening now. The war on Christianity is happening now. Therefore, as the Bible states, no man should be entangled with himself or affairs of this life. We have a higher calling for an eternal life. Those are what we need to store up our treasures for. And without the real truth, without the foundation of the Lord, or without a Bible, it is hard to gain and understand all things that the Lord has taught us. If you do not have a Bible, that's where your foundation in the Lord, that and prayer, will begin. And as you read, the words will come alive. So anybody who needs a Bible, even if you are not a believer, if you've never read the Bible, but you have read other books and you've been told about history and how things have happened in our world, documented history, and whether it's evolution or aliens came here and left us here to mine gold or whatever the story is, the Bible is the truth, and Jesus Christ is the way unto salvation, and people need to understand that now more than ever. And the Bible is a great start. Reading the Bible and praying is a great start. Giving your soul to the Lord rather than this world.
Well, you know, and I'd like to say, as above, so below, I believe that in the times in which we're looking at, World War III, a massive economic collapse, like you said, Joe, if you're, you go out, you buy food. You go out, you buy precious metals to preserve your wealth. You go out and buy weapons and ammunition to protect what you have. You better have a Bible, because that's not only a historical and holy record, but it's also your instruction manual, and it's your survival manual.
And if the internet goes out and if the lights go out, just grab, make sure you have your Bible and lots of candles and some lighters to read in the dark, because a lot of people now would rather watch TV than read their Bible. They'd rather listen to music than read their Bible. They'd rather do a lot of things than read their Bible, not understanding the wisdom and the unbelievable truth that is revealed in it. Folks, we're up against the top of the hour break. We'll be back with your phone calls in the third hour. 661-244-9839. Get in line. Your call's coming right up.
It's hard to imagine when things are going reasonably well just how quickly things can change. But what would it take? Economic collapse? Massive crop failure? Chemical or biological attack? So many situations could find you in the grocery looking to pick up food for your family only to find that the shelves are empty. There's nothing. Don't let that happen. Act today to make sure that if it ever comes to that, you and your family will be provided for. Visit freezedryguy.com to look at the wide variety of survival foods available. Freeze-dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy store longer, rehydrate faster, are nutritionally superior to, and taste better than any other long-term storage food available. Visit freezedryguy.com or call toll-free 866-404-3663.
You better wake up fast and listen to this, America. The Obama campaign has launched attack squads disguised as truth teams dedicated to intimidating and silencing all political dissent carried over the internet that criticizes the Marxist Obama.
Truth Squad specifically focused on covering up Obama's endless trail of lies, corruption, and subversion, and using the Gestapo power of our own government to police and censor the internet and shut down websites that dare to carry the real truth about Obama's Marxist coup. Remember the names of these Gestapo-style agencies at work right there in your neighborhood: KeepingHisWord.com, KeepingGOPHonest.com, and AttackWatch.com. KGB, SS, and Gestapo-style police state gangster organizations at work to silence the important voices of patriot dissent, some of which have already been shut down by Obama's orders. Adolf Hitler would have been proud. We're the 21st century Tea Party Patriots.
You know, folks, we're very proud of our sponsors to our show. The sponsorships that we have, we don't have many. And in some ways, I think that's kind of a good thing. Let me tell you about one, Granlin Firearms. I'll tell you something. Granlin Firearms is, they're located in British Columbia. If you go to HomelandSecurityUS.com, click on the link to Granlin Firearms. Just do that. And that will take you to just a wonderful website where you can find an amazing array of products, survival gear, hunting equipment. More importantly, they've got a gun stock list. If you're looking for a certain gun, Canadian listeners, and we've got a lot of Canadian listeners, pay a visit to GranlinFirearms.com, or if you are in beautiful Campbell River, British Columbia, which, by the way, is the salmon capital of the world, pay them a visit in person. In fact, they're open Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays from noon to 7 Pacific time, and Saturdays from 10 to 5 Pacific time. They're great people. They have great products. They've got great prices on their firearms, on their long guns. They've got just a, by the way, a wonderful book written by Carl Granlin, Trade Beyond the River, second edition. They've got, it's got some great stories in that book. It's about cougar hunting on Vancouver Island. Now, if you're not into hunting, but if you're into wildlife, it's just a great, great read. Just a great read. They also have T-shirts and hats. And I got to tell you, I'm a big fan of their black deerhead T-shirts. They've got small to double XL. But you see, by supporting Granlin Firearms, you're supporting local businesses. And that's important. Plus, you're supporting Christian businesses. Very important as well. Plus, you're exercising your rights to wear what you want, to own the weapons, the long guns. And you can do it if you live in the United States, to visit your local federally licensed firearms dealer, and you can order from Granlin Firearms. Do it today. Do it for yourself. Do it for your family. They've got, again, a wide array of different products to help you, the survival gear and what have you. Just tell them Doug and Joe sent you one last time. That's GranlinFirearms.com. Go to HomelandSecurityUS.com. Click on the link. It'll take you right there. And while you're there, sign the guest book. Tell them Doug and Joe sent you.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to our third and final hour this Monday, June 17th, 2013, where we will be taking your phone calls at 661-244-9839. Just before we go to calls, I just want to read two quick Bible verses here out of 1 Timothy. First, it says, "Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. I think that is always important to remember. And with that, we are going to go to the phone calls. We're going to go to area code 516 first. You're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report. What's on your mind tonight?
Joe and Doug. How you doing, Joe? Doug? This is Dave.
From you're doing
Long Island. Dave. Long Island Dave. Not to be confused with Long Island Ice Tea. Dave, good to hear from you.
Oh, God, Doug, it's I thank God that I can hear you guys on my cell phone. You know, I don't have any other way to communicate with the sane world out there but to listen to you. I try to stay up as much as I can, but I get up at the crack of light, like 5, and I got to figure out what I'm going to be doing because I can't do this much longer. It's starting to affect my health, so keep me in your prayers, but I just want to say I thank you both. I thank you for your boldness, your love for the Lord. I thank Steve Quayle and Pastor David Lankford, I believe that's his name. I try to listen as much as I can. I'd love to download it. I don't have it downloaded now to put it on the CD. But, Doug, I got a question for you. I heard you say, here's one for you. I don't think anybody said this to you. And I'm sorry for getting loud that one time. I got a little loud, so I'm sorry, Poconos.
No, that's okay. That's okay, David. Doug, I thought that's what my dad was referring to when he called you Long Island Iced Tea, but anyway.
No, not at all. I
vented a little, and I did hear you get a little upset one time, Doug, and it's normal for sometimes just to yell out loud, but I apologize anyway. But, Doug, the time when you said that you were traveling and they surrounded your vehicle and they had their personal, whatever, weapons pointed at you, of course, you know, you were in that situation. You're right. You don't know what you're going to do when you're in that situation. And but let me ask you this question. If, when they surrounded you and they had their weapons pointed, what if they said, Doug Hagman, you're going to take this chip willingly now, or else we are going to shoot you to death? Or if they had said, Doug Hagman, you will deny Jesus Christ and accept whoever else, whatever, Allah, Mohammed the Prophet, or else we will shoot you dead right now. What would you have done then?
I would, Dave, without hesitation, I would have said, fire away. Because, look, Dave, and listeners out there, it doesn't matter what the circumstances are, whether you've got a gun pointed at you or whether you are in line for food or whatever it might be, you've got one thing, and that is your soul. I mean, the one thing that no one can willingly or no one can take from you, and that is your belief in Jesus and your soul. You sell out. I mean, I can't even imagine entertaining the thought, regardless of the threat. I can't imagine of denying my faith and thus preventing me from entering heaven. I can't imagine that, Dave. And I know you can't either.
Right, definitely. I'm on the same way. I just wanted you to say, I knew you were going to say that. I just wanted you to say that for everybody else to hear that too.
No chip for me.
What?
Sorry. Didn't mean to talk over. No chip for me. I didn't mean to talk over you, but no. I'm not going to deny my faith. I'm not going to. I am not going to acquiesce. And you know, Allah is not the same God I worship.
as a Christian.
I know you're not. I know you're not. But you said that when the guns are pointed at you, but that was for a different thing. Just like many years ago in the 70s, I had a cop out of a window pointing a pistol at me. As I was on the back of a pickup truck. Don't ask me this whole story. But it was the driver that was the bad guy and his accomplice inside, and I was on the back of the pickup truck. And the cop didn't know who I was on the back. And he was the passenger, and he had his arm out with the pistol pointed at me. And I'm like, whoa, when you see that pistol pointed at you, whoa. And I'm like, no, not me, it's him. You know, finally, you know, he's seen that, yeah, you know, this guy, you know. So everything worked out right, and the guy was, you know, they were arrested and all that. But, you know, when you got the gun pointed at you, you know, for a situation like that, a situation where the gun is pointed at you, and they're telling you to accept another God, to deny Jesus Christ,
yeah,
or accept the mark of the beast, freak them. No way. No way.
Well, I mean, you could be standing and staring at, I don't know, a guillotine, a machete, or whatever, and it's not worth it. Are you going to, and I know you wouldn't, but other people have to consider, are you, ladies and gentlemen, going to give up your eternity, you know, with a loving God in heaven for what? I mean, really, for what? So you can buy, sell, and trade in a corrupt New World Order system? Is that what? No. No way, Dave. And the other part of that equation, Dave, and I don't mean to talk over you, but the other part of that equation, too, is that there are a lot of people out there who say they're going to act a certain way in a certain situation. And I don't care what that situation is. If it ever came to, for example, I see this on forums and message boards all over the place. Well, if a SWAT team came to my house, for example, and demanded my guns, they're going to have a gun battle. You know, things happen very quickly, and you don't understand. You say you're going to act one way, and suddenly all of in terms of self defense. Now, I'm not talking about giving your faith up. I'm talking about self-defense. I call that virtual beer muscles, just like much like you've got beer muscles when you drink at a bar. You've got virtual beer muscles when you have the anonymity of the internet, or what you believe to be the anonymity of the internet, and you're able to type under this screen name. Well, I don't know. Let me just pick one. Ben Sunday. Okay. For example, you know, I got beer muscles. I'm an intellectual. Meanwhile, you know. Sorry, Dave. Go on.
No, that you're perfectly right, Doug. You have to just be in constant prayer for something like that. You know, me and you and Joe and everybody. You know, I believe everybody else. Hopefully, anyway. You know, we'll have ample enough time to pray and the Holy Spirit come upon us. And then we will be able to accept death, just as many martyrs have done that before. You know, those quick situations where they just come in and they bump you against the wall and this and that, and give, you know, turning your guns and this and that. Yeah, you know, you're right. You're perfectly right. You know, I have a good feeling maybe I would be one of those that would, but you know, turn them in. But something where you're given thought and there's a while where you could say a prayer before denying Christ, so that you don't deny Christ, well, I think the power of the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Those bump situations where they just come in, the Holy Spirit, you know, it's hard to gain the Holy Spirit, you know. There's so much stuff going on so quickly that you really don't have time to speak to the Father in heaven, you know. So, but I just want to say real quick, though, also, I'm out here, and I'm just fighting. I mean, I don't want to say where I go right now. I'll say it later. But I can't believe the homosexual activity that is going on at a certain place where I go. And I will not, I mean, I pray there now, and I'm under attack. Actually, I actually think, Doug, that my bed was shaking, and I don't know. I think it just might have been the devil. Because I was in my car and I felt a shaking. And I don't know if I was asleep, dreaming it, but this fella said, don't do it that way, do it this way. And I said, in the name of Jesus, I command you to be gone. And soon after, I said, let me just see. And the shaking stopped. I mean, I thought it was somebody outside my car just messing with me, just moving it. But this has happened two or three times. And another time, my cross, I have a cross with Christ on it, and I woke up, and the cross was off my neck. The chain was off my neck. And this has never happened in all of my life, where I, in the middle of night, took my chain off my neck, and it was on my chest, but the chain was off my neck. So that is weird. I don't know, but I think the devil is really active, and I'm talking about, you know, not just spiritually, but physically. I think he's getting very physical.
Dave, people in the chat room wanted me to let you know they say they are saying hello and they love you. And also, when things like this happen, you can cast these demons out and with the authority using Jesus' name. Cast these devils out in Jesus' name and under the blood of his salvation.
Amen. Celeste, I'd like to...
Go ahead. Sorry.
Okay.
Sorry for the delay, folks. Yeah, Dave, sorry for the delay. Sometimes we do have a like a 3-second delay, which really screws with us.
I'm sorry for talking over. I just want, because I know my time is short here, but I just wanted to say a little wisdom now to the whole world. I know it's a bad topic, but I think I heard it from somebody. I don't know if it was on your show, but I think it was. You have these people that are having children now, and they're in their 30s and early 40s. They're having children. They have these little sweet little 5-year-olds, 7-year-old girls, boys. They talk so sweet. Mommy. And these parents don't even know Jesus. They don't, they're in sin themselves, and they have these little children. So what I'm saying is, and I think I heard it on the show, but my wisdom is saying, hey, look, God is saying, I want these children to be with me. But you parents, you're not raising them right, and you people are in sin. And I think he's saying, you know what, I'm going to take some of your children and bring them into my kingdom. Because when they're 5 or 7 years old, it'll bring them right into the kingdom when they get killed in a tornado or an earthquake or a shooting in Connecticut in the school. It'll bring them right into the kingdom rather than having those kids grow up and get older. And then their parents are still sinning. And whatever, messing around, adultery, doing everything else, drinking. And those children now start with themselves to become bad and get into sin. And the kingdom of heaven is lost to them, basically, because of their parents. And I think that God is taking some of these children and bringing them home, because he's saying, I'm going to bring them home because you people ain't bringing them home. You people ain't bringing your children up correctly. So that's all I'd like to give of my wisdom on that.
Amen, Dave. The Lord knows how to deliver the just and the unjust in their times, and you could be very right. The world is very wicked now, and there is no regard for children, no regard for life, for that matter. And I want to say God bless you. And on behalf of the listeners in the chat room, they say they love you. And God bless you too, Dave. You stay safe.
Yes, you too also, and Steve Quayle and everybody, all your guests. I mean, you guys are real targets. I know I'm a little target because I got a voice, and I'm out here dealing with the homosexuals, asking them to pray, praying on their satanic ground. But I love the fight. I love the fight. I love the fight against Satan. So I go there and I pray, and they run away. They don't want to see any prayer or anything like that. So that basically, I'm scaring them away. And I'll tell you what kind of site this place is sometime in the future, hopefully. But you two stay safer, because needs you more than somebody like me. And I know what you're going to say, but no, you two are out there, and you two are better talkers, and you got the talking experience, and you guys really have, like, the best show out there. So, you know, there's other guys out there that I love and everything, but all you guys, you're all targets with this corrupt administration. Obama is a liar. He's a liar. His father is Satan. He's doing the will of Satan. And no way am I ever going to think that Allah is my God. No way. And Mohammed, forget about it. The guy was a murderer. So, McCain, I don't know what happened to you, McCain, but you're freaking crazy. I love you for the service that you did to your country. I love you for that. But, McCain, you are whacked out going and backing everything that this guy Obama is doing. You are freaking crazy. So God bless everybody. Take care of yourself, everybody. And hopefully I'll see you in the chat one day. All right?
God bless you, my friend. Thank you very much for your call. And that was Dave from Long Island. Always a very outspoken member of our extended family.
Next, we are going to go to Donna. Donna, you are live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
God bless you guys. I'm glad everything worked out for you, Doug. We were praying for you. I was on Pastor Paul Bagley listening to him when Joe called in and we got the news, and everybody was praying in the chat room. Just wanted to give you
that. Thank you so much.
So we were all hitting our knees because we were all worried about you. And, of course, we were reassured when Joe came on and said you were okay, but still it was quite frightening. And you're right when you say that, I know people get on the Internet and they type, oh, I'm going to do this or bring it on or whatever. I don't pay much attention to that. But you don't know how you're going to react to something. I had somebody break into my house, and they were actually in my bedroom when I was woken up by them. And it takes a
recently?
While. It's been about, let's see, August. It was last June. Yeah, it's been about a year, roughly. And
that's a reason.
I couldn't even find my cell phone. I mean, that's how freaked out. By the time you realize what's in your room, by the time you realize what's going on, I keep my cell phone next to me to reach for it to even, and before I could even scream. And it was very quick, and the person ran out of the room. I mean, it could have been worse, obviously. And, of course, it took the police 2 hours to get here. That's a whole other story. And then trying to get the police report.
Man.
I mean, this is that story that goes on. It's really quite incredible. So I ended up putting bars on all my windows. I mean, I have bars. You can't get in. And I was telling my aunt, I said, it's really quite interesting that I'm not breaking any laws, but yet I'm kind of in jail. I mean, they're nice bars. They did a good job.
I mean, in New York City, for example, when we spent time there, a lot of first floor, well, a lot of apartments have decorative grates over their windows, of course, but you know, certainly if you would be able to have a gun, I don't know.
You just don't know how you're going to react. So I can't imagine if a SWAT team came in the middle of the night and you're half asleep, you're not going to react the way your brain doesn't register that quick unless you're trained militarily to react a certain way. And I'm not, and probably most Americans out there are not. So as much as they can get
exactly.
on the keyboard.
And think, Donna, like you're in a movie theater. Let's say you've got, and folks, in preparation of things to come, and Donna, in preparation of things to come, for example, I'll put the movie theater situation aside, but let's say martial law does come to this country, and, you know, you say, well, I'm not going to, you know, I'm going to behave in this fashion, in a certain fashion. I really think people should rethink that and think about the fact that you may not carnally know how to react
reacting with your carnal body and your carnal thoughts. I mean, this is why I think it's so important to have that spiritual component and to listen to what God is telling us and how to act or react in a given situation. That's where I think a lot of talk shows go wrong or even websites go wrong. They don't merge that spiritual component to this because we're going to be fighting a battle that's as much spiritual as it is physical. And we better be taking our direction, in my view, from God. Don't you think, Donna? I mean...
Oh, no, you got to hit your knees, get into your Bible. I've had experiences sort of like Long Island days, much more intense. But and that's a whole other story in itself. However, having said that, one of the things that you don't realize is that you're, like I said, your brain doesn't, if you're not experienced, you're going to be thinking about your family. People in this country have never seen tanks rolling down the street. I live in a suburb. Pueblo is a suburb of Denver. Denver's much more of a city. And, we have a high crime rate. I think every city does. One of the things I've been telling my aunt, I came up with it. I said, it's kind of like after I became a Christian, all of a sudden I have Holy Ghost glasses. It's kind of a joke because I don't see the world the same way I used to see it. Coming from the New Age movement and then becoming a Christian and then getting into the Word. And like I say, I have these Holy Ghost glasses and I like woke up and I had one world and then I woke up and all of a sudden I'm in a nightmare. I mean, things are just so, you see things so much differently, the morality, the agendas. I don't know if you saw Steve Quayle's website. I think it was Steve Quayle. There's several. I have Rick Wiles' website, but I think it was Steve Quayle's. Apparently they were doing a Pledge of Allegiance, and you can correct me, Joe, if I'm wrong, if I read it wrong, and it's in Denver. In Arabic, and they're allowed to say under Allah. And I'm wondering, why is it that they're allowed to say that, but I can't use under God or mention God or Christianity of any sort? And the atheists don't seem to be bothered by Allah. At least, in my opinion, they seem to crack down on... I mean, there's definitely a war on Christianity. There's no doubt. It's everywhere. And in the military... if people are actually watching,
on TV,
most people don't.
Yeah,
and I don't even bother watching TV. It's too obscene. I gave that up a long time ago. And I stick to Bible movies. I know it's kind of old-fashioned to sit down and watch Jeremiah, the Ten Commandments. But, listeners, if you go out there and start watching some of those old biblical movies, the Gospel of John, Acts, it's actually quite refreshing. Anyway, having said that, that's all I have to say.
I want to say that I've watched a lot of those movies, and I do love them. They really do bring you back down into a humble place and get your spirit in a good place, especially when, you're having a rough day or things aren't going the way you like. To sit down and watch one of those movies, it is very refreshing.
Oh, yeah, Matthew, and he said the eyes are the... I mean, I watched the Gospel of Matthew, and, sometimes you don't hit it, but he'll say, the eyes are the lampshade to the soul kind of thing, and I'm like, wow. What you put in, what we see, what we hear, what we put in, as far as even entertainment, it soaks into you on a subconscious level. So I quit listening to that music and made a lot of changes in my life, but, I do have my Holy Ghost glasses, so... I'll just keep using those and discernment and keep praying. That's all I have is the Lord. So, and I mean, I have family, but pretty much they're, they don't want to hear about Jesus either. I have my aunt, but that's cool. So anyway, you guys keep up the good work. I'm glad you're safe and I'll keep praying for you and I'll let somebody else call in. Bye.
Donna, thank you. God bless you.
God bless you, guys.
Bye. Larry from California wrote in, Joe, what version or translation is the Bible you are giving away for those in need?
just curious. It's King James Version, full size. Hopefully that answers your question.
Yeah, I think it does. All right, we're going to move on. Area code 916, thanks for holding. You're up next and live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Hey, Joe, Doug, it's Lars from California.
Hey, how's California?
You know, we're doing good. I just been out walking and praying in my town. I call it Godorado Hills. And you had a scripture I wanted to read, just a couple of verses of James 4, if I could. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire to do not have, so you murder, you covet, and you obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people, do you not know that the friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever of the world makes himself an enemy of Yahweh. You know, an observation, I called a few days ago. I was a gentleman that just got back from Israel. And, you know, I was asked when I was outside. Yeah, outside of Benjamin Netanyahu's when I was over there praying. And, you know, two of his head security came over to me and asked me, do I believe in Jesus? And I said, Yeshua HaMashiach, absolutely. So I already know that, you know, I already know my response. But an observation of the awesome service you guys had Sunday about betrayal. And I've been hearing this word over the last few weeks. And I found it interesting yesterday that Morsi, the president of Egypt, you know, betrayed Assad. He pulled out alliance with him and is leaning now with America and Israel. So I found that interesting, which I it's just another alliance. It's part of the deception. But I found that interesting. And two other quick points. You know, I was a firefighter for 31 years. And, you know, the strategy is, you know, the operations of going to the emergency and then the tactics of how to mitigate it. And the strategies we have is the King James Version of the Bible. And then what the Lord really put in my heart this year is to really get down to the tactics. You know, SWAT has their, you know, special weapons and tactics. And, you know, we cannot be ignorant to the devices and the wiles of the devil. And, you know, because it is a spiritual war, and I just ask in Jesus' name, Lord, that greater wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, discernment through your counsel would take place to all your listeners today and tomorrow and the days ahead. And one last thing, I found in my strategy going to the Word that if I did something that was contrary to that, like, you know, God says to not make any graven image. And at one time, I did have images, you know, on crosses and statues and all those things, and by the Holy Ghost, you know, I realized that I had to get rid of some things. And when the more things I got rid of, music, images, whatever those things were, there was a breakthrough. So just to encourage people that have called in, and you know, that we just have to really understand the operations of the tactics by the Holy Ghost.
Well, you know, what you said is rather interesting to me. I don't have a problem, for example, having a cross or even a crucifix, for example. Okay. The problem with, in my view, and you might have a different take on this, but the problem in my view is when you worship the image or icon as opposed to you know, the real thing. For example, I've got a cross hanging on my office wall. Do I worship that? No. But, you know, every time I look at it, it reminds me of the sacrifice that was made on my behalf. I you know, I don't see that as being a problem. Now, you know.
No, there's a big distinction between praying to the a crucifix or using it as an image of some kind of that deserves worship rather than what you said as more of a reminder is what the sacrifice was and praying up to the Lord, not to the image. We just have to make
exactly
that distinction.
Amen. Right. And I can tell you personal testimonies, and 2004, I was saved, and I went on my first mission trip, went to Romania, and I was with one of the people in the group, and we went into this gentleman's house. He just invited us in, and he had awesome, you know, art, pictures of Christ and Mary and all these things all over his walls. He had multiple Bibles. He walked over to the wall. He took off this picture, like a mosaic of Christ and Mary, and he kissed it. He wrapped it up, and he gave it to me, and a bottle of wine and a loaf of bread. I don't drink anymore, but I was blown away, and I came home not with the wine or the bread. I left that, but I did bring the image back, and I had a statue from years ago, and you know, I would never, you know, bow down to him or anything, but what I found, I had a cross. I think the cross is definitely the reminder. But one funny thing happened with a cross that I bought with a image. Within weeks after buying that cross with the image, the arm came off. I took it back and sewed it, you know, had it soldered back on. My point is, through the process, God will show us what to do, and that's the main thing. And just be led by the Spirit of God, and He will lead us through this thing, God bless you guys, and God bless everybody that's listening, and the Holy Spirit's going to continue doing great works with us in Jesus' name.
Thank you, and thanks for the call. I believe that. I believe great works are, you know, with great tribulation and great trials, I believe that great works and miracles are also involved in that. And, you know, it just reminds me again of a good friend, who always says that, you know, we have to follow the instructions given us. We have to play. And the instructions given to you, me, Joe, whatever, they're different with each person, and we have to pay attention to that. And that is part of the reason we have our Sunday night services, so we can, through prayer and fasting, in part, it's one of the reasons, so we can get in tune and listen to what we are being told to do, what position to play. Because we are fighting a spiritual battle as much as, if not more than, a carnal battle. And when you look at the prospect of a global war looming and an economic collapse looming, you know, some of us might not make it. Others, you know, others will. So, but God bless you for the call, my friend. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Another great call, and thank you. Moving right along, 626 area code, we're coming to you next. You're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Hey, Doug and Joe. Man, what a bunch of great calls here this evening. I feel like I'm listening to the front lines of this battle and the war on our faith, gentlemen.
Well, join us on the front lines from, dare I say it, Pasadena.
Yes, you may dare say. And Doug and Joe, I've been in prayer lately about really just a motivation that the Lord's placed in my heart with regard to this show. And I've been asking for guidance as to how may I best, nourish the other Hagman and Hagman family members. And I feel like I've sort of received some answers lately in twofold. One of them is that I'm able to sort of offer almost sit reps, if you will, from one of our great major cities. Great may be in finger quotes, but, Los Angeles is undergoing incredible changes. And like Donna said a few minutes ago, when you begin to see things through that third lens of the Holy Spirit, it really opens your eyes. It changes your powers of observation. And then I think it also serves a second purpose, which is to drive us to our knees so that we may graduate from our own best judgment to discernment. And the other thing I'm able to offer, gentlemen, of course, is some insights into the last portion of what I've been thinking of as sort of an unholy trinity. And what I mean by that is, we're living in a world where Madison Avenue cooks it up Wall Street finances it, and Hollywood blasts it out to the world. And for better or worse, I sort of work at that launch pad, as you both know. And television's come up a lot tonight, and I wanted to just sort of place myself at your disposal and ask if either you, Doug, or Joe had any questions regarding sort of the current state of things or what the general attitude is regarding some of these topics. If either of you have a thought or if you are seeking insight, I'd be happy to answer as honestly as I can.
Well, okay. One of my questions is, I've got several, but because you're in that industry, you're in the entertainment industry, you can see things going on around you. We're seeing
every
people
day.
Right now. Yeah, and we've heard, and I don't recall the actor's name that has recently come out and said, you know, we've got problems with under this Obama regime, for example. It seems that there's a fight going on. There's a fight that there are some people who are actively engaging in the good, and then on the flip side of that, now we're seeing programming that is becoming even more blatantly heretical. Blatantly anti-Christian, anti-Judeo-Christian, anti-traditional marriage. I mean, if you look at some of the programs lineup on Lifetime, for example, channel, my goodness, how much more anti-Christian can you get?
Absolutely.
And I can
what
go
about
on.
What about ABC Family? I mean, ABC Family.
Oh yeah.
Look at their lineup. It's since that I most recently. Doug, that's an excellent question, and I'll do the best I can with it. Quick history. I recently moved from 3 years at Warner Brothers, took a major pay cut, and went over to Disney. And what I discovered was truly remarkable, gentlemen. I was working on, I'm not going to go into names here, but I was working on the number one show on ABC Family. It's also the number one show in its primetime time slot. So I was on 3 seasons of that program. And by season 3, I got to the point where I couldn't even read the scripts anymore. I mean, it's part of my job to read the scripts. I am in error to show up each day and perform my duties with a cursory understanding of the scripts. But they became so laden with instructing our young women in exactly the wrong things to do. And what happened on that show, Doug and Joe, is there was a small group of us. We were conservatives and we were Christians. And that particular production company is methodically cleaning house. There were 5 of us originally. I was the first to lose my job. There have now been 2 more. Because of our political beliefs, because of our spiritual beliefs. Now, we kept them quiet. And you talk about a fight internally. I would have said 4 months ago, there isn't one. But after moving over to Disney, and they're my current employers, I was shocked. I took a significant pay cut. I went to a different studio, to an actual different lot. And I was surrounded by Christians, guys. I couldn't believe it. The particular production company I'm working for has multiple shows, and of the 2 shows that were on this specific lot, there were like 10 or 12 of us out of maybe 200 people. It was unbelievable to me. I couldn't believe there was such a strong number of believers. Does that kind of get us there, Doug? Or
yeah, well, it's amazing. You have the Christians who call themselves Christians who partake in these worldly things like nothing is wrong and everything is okay, not speaking out against it. And, I mean, I know you have to eat, you have to live and work, but will you do so at the cost of your duty to the Lord is the question people need to be asking themselves.
Joe, you're exactly right, and thank you for helping me refocus on that specific question. I don't know if there are other industry people listening this evening, but it goes back to that third lens, that lens of God's Holy Spirit, of the Spirit of Christ. 6 months ago, 8 months ago, when I was over at Warner Brothers, I'm not certain I could have answered that question either truthfully or in a manner that was truthful to myself. But I moved over to Disney and I started working on these kids shows, and I realized absolutely there are people up and down the different trade crafts who are believers and who do care about. I mean, I work with one guy right now. You know, he's the labor foreman, and he has a very modest position on the show. But you know what he does on the weekends? He and his wife do prison ministry. I'm not sure I would have found that at Warner Brothers, gentlemen, but on these kids' shows, it's a lot more prevalent. So perhaps people in Hollywood are asking themselves that question more. It's just been a really interesting sort of personal... Sorry, go ahead.
What you're saying is, what I'm hearing you say is that there are a lot more people than one might imagine in Hollywood who are Christians and are active in that capacity. So we're winning in a sense in certain areas. Is that
Isn't it interesting how V has come on the program? And God bless V. Folks, let me just remind everyone, when you have your quiet time, when you have your prayer time, please keep V in your prayers, because as he's continued to participate in the show, I really feel it placed on my heart that he's perhaps closer to the front lines than maybe he even realizes. I really think that he's blessed us with his knowledge. But isn't it interesting, Doug and Joe, that he's taught us that devolution, if you will, from useless eaters to, I can't remember all the terminologies, but now we're human resources. And let me tell you, gentlemen, something. In Hollywood, when you're a believer, particularly if you're awake to things like the financial debacle we're facing, the department that will root you out and will cost you your job is human resources. They are the people that will call you to the mat. I have a friend over at Warner Brothers who recently lost his job. They called every member of his department into human resources, and they ask questions, and I wish I were kidding right now, but I'm not. Have you ever heard this particular gentleman refer to the president as the N-word? Have you ever heard him make racial slurs? They brought every member of his department up. It was a witch hunt, gentlemen.
That's rather frightening. I mean, you're looking at a fishing expedition, for lack of a better.
I'm afraid so.
Right. Wow.
I'm afraid so. Well, Doug
for
and Joe,
what purpose, though? I just want to cost him his job. Just in closing.
He was a conservative, and he was asking questions about Christ. He was asking questions about his faith, and there we have. But I know I don't want to monopolize too much of the time here tonight, gentlemen, but I just wanted to say God bless you both. And any time, Doug or Joe, if you have questions about anything to do with the industry, I've been in it for 14 years, and if I should call in with something else that I may think is relevant or whatever, please feel free to interject, and I'll do my very best to answer whatever questions or ideas you may have.
We certainly appreciate that. Thank you so very much, my friend. And you just stay safe out there and keep fighting the good fight. I know you are.
Amen, brother. Good night, Joe.
All right. Good night.
God bless.
Wow.
We're going to squeeze. We got about 2 minutes. We're going to go to 618 next. You're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report. Thanks for holding.
Hi, God bless everybody and everything. How are you guys doing tonight?
Very well.
Just a quick comments on just a couple of previous callers. I want to try to go as fast as I can. I was going through the cable channel the other day, and I happened to notice, just if you want to know, spiritual war at least going out for at least our children and in regard to television, I happened to be clicking through, and I saw a program, what was it called, Pregnant and Dating. And I was just kind of astonished and everything, but that's the type of stuff that they're putting out there. I've never heard of anything like that, but I mean, it's just on one of the regular cable shows and everything, and cable channels. And if you don't think that's trying to go after your youth and pervert their minds, I don't even know what to say about that. I never even did click on it. I just kept on going. It just astonished me. And regards to another the other caller that called earlier about the at least in terms of our youth, let's just say everybody, all the listeners out there, at least in regards to us, we can put a stop to that in terms of corrupting the children. You know what? Sit down and say a prayer with your children, not just at meals. Do it at nighttime. Do it throughout the day. Teach them your values and everything. Teach them about Christ and how he loves you. Teach them that. We can put a stop, at least in terms of your audience, we can put a dead stop to that. And I'm not sure about the rest of the country, but all we can put a stop to at least, you know, in terms of your audience. And then another quick point.
Exactly.
Sorry, I'm trying to go so fast. Real quick, just the other night, I always do things in a logical way. And if I was to ask you this question, do you feel we have a little bit of time or a lot of time or a lot of time? And if I was to ask that question to V or Steve Quayle or many of your other guests, Standeo or any of them, I would probably get the answer of, well, we probably don't have a lot of time. And what that means is,
what do you consider a lot of time?
Well, I mean, you know, do you think we have 20 years, 10 years, a couple of years, you know? And when I put that question to my point, to myself, I don't feel that we have a lot of time. I can feel that we would just all stand up one day and say, man, I thought we had more time. And then I think if the things were left unchanged, there has to be a big event that's going to have to take place, because in terms of the deterioration of at least our government, you know, listen, I can imagine some real horrible stuff. And, you know, we're not quite there yet. We're not at Nazi Germany style yet. It would take several more years for that to happen. So the only thing to catapult us to that, at least in terms of that, I was watching that movie Red Dawn and everything. That happened to be on the cable channel and everything a few weeks ago, and it caught me. You could wake up one day, everything could change 100%, turn around that quick. So I think that there's going to have to be like a big event or something like that that's just going to have to catapult us, because if left by now, I think it would take several more years, more time than what we actually have, for those things to take place. Do you agree? Or
I say, you know, we don't have 20 years.
No.
I say we're not even sure about 10 years. And for each of us individually, we're not even sure about tomorrow.
Exactly. And individually, you're right. But caller, let me just say this real quick. I would say that.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be one big event. It what we're seeing are many, many medium-sized events. It doesn't have to be a Red Dawn scenario. It could be, you know, other things. Go ahead.
When I pose that point to my question, I just would just ask one simple thing. I really don't get into a lot of this too much in terms of like some things, you know, like signs or this or that. But just take this into a point. If you can ask yourself the question, we probably don't have a lot of time. And we're probably, I think many of your guests and everything would probably agree to that. Take a look at least in terms of, they were talking about the sixth seal and everything, and I was reading that in the Bible several weeks ago. And then I happened to catch something on the, radio or so, that was talking about, hey, you know, the moon turning to blood and that type of stuff. So if you think that we don't have that much time and you really feel that way, we have to at least give that at least some sort of credence, because it's kind of like, I don't know how much time we have, but, you know, there's a lot of those type of things that are supposed to happen in 2014 and 15, and that doesn't put us at the very end, but that puts us right in the middle.
One thing that's always gotten me is the Bible prophecy that says, those that see Israel become a nation again, that generation surely will not pass away before seeing all these things, the end of things come to pass.
Yes. I totally agree, and I'm sorry to take up the last little bit of time and everything. God bless you both, and me and my children and everything both said prayers for you Thursday night and everything, as we normally do. And I'm glad that everything at least turned out to where you're both okay and everything, to where you're okay, Mr. Hagman.
Oh yeah, we're fine. Everything is great. We appreciate it. Thank you, caller. Thanks for closing out our show with all of that. Good call.
Great call, and God bless you. We appreciate
it. Thank you.
Everything, and you take care.
You too.
Yeah.
Thank you. God bless.
And Joe, God bless you. What a great show, Joe. And I just want to reaffirm with people, look, we're looking down the barrel or down the alley of World War III, and just understand, along with the killing of the dollar, along with everything else that we're seeing. We need to really be prepared, folks.
Our eternal soul hangs in the balance. The destiny.
Indeed. You can catch me on KFAQ Tulsa tomorrow at 7:30, Pat Campbell's show, and I'll be on Rick Wiles on Wednesday. And, of course, catch us here normal time tomorrow night, 8 o'clock Eastern. I want to say God bless each and every one of you, and just get prepared.
Stay safe. We love you, and God willing, we'll see you tomorrow. Have a good night, everyone.